Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
On Hero Stock, the thing you do with your ears is the place to be. Bet for one line, fantasy cavalcade, all that sassafras. Be a part, you know? Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, as I aforementioned. My name is Chris. I'll be hanging out with you here for about 3 hours tonight on this fine, fine radio program, talking about whatever tickles my fancy. I hope your fancy will be tickled by it. Join the show, be a part. Call us, 347-767-4247. Still haven't gotten used to it yet. All that stuff, heroestalk.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hanging out with me for those 3 hours is going to be my buddy. He's wearing a nice tracksuit. His name's Keith.
Hopefully I'll be able to talk for some of those, because since I left the house tonight, I just can't talk for some reason. Like, I feel like I have an inability to speak. Like, almost like it's too, like somebody weighed down my lips and, it's just too
much. So it's a physical issue that you're having?
It's manifesting itself physically. It's just making it,
like you just can't get past it?
Yeah, kind of like when you're really cold, but it's not that cold out. But, I was in the car with Fred, and we were having a conversation, and my answers were pretty much just, yeah, yeah. We were talking about that show Extras, and I was like, yeah, what other episodes were there? I just couldn't bring myself to talk for some reason.
I have no idea how temperature would have anything to do with it. It's being
sometimes,
cold?
Sometimes when you're really cold and your face is, frozen, it's hard to talk. It almost feels like that.
I just can't
break out of that rut for some reason.
You're going to find this hard to believe. I never have a problem talking. I never even think twice about it. I could just ramble on and on for days. Luckily, there are people around me that stop me at times. One of those people, it's Fred.
Stop. What's up, man?
Chilling?
That's right. Me and Keith had a car ride, and we did have a conversation.
Wow, like people?
Like people do. Back and forth,
An exchange? Well, according to Keith, it didn't sound like you did. Maybe that's your own issue.
I felt like I was talking to a stroke victim. I really did. The ride was it was almost like...
Strokes are funny!
It was almost like I was riding an accessorized bus, and I had this patient with me in the backseat.
Yeah, it was really... Strange. You really just didn't speak.
No, I was talking to him, but he was mostly I was noticing pauses, and
did
then...
Did you get grunts?
I was like,
He was like, oh yeah, and then that episode, and I'd just be yeah. And then I'd be quiet, and then thinking of something just to add to the conversation, and then just had I had nothing. I was out of words.
Wait a minute.
The gully ran dry.
Does this mean I'm a boring conversationalist? Is that what it could be?
No, like, it's not that.
I think you bully conversations around. You just go on. You ramble on and on and on.
Me?
And he couldn't fight him a spot in there. He was trying to get
it. It was best in show, the car.
Exactly. See, I'm getting to think now, since my car ride with Keith and since Brian has complained about my car rides and my conversation, that I might be a bad conversationalist.
I think maybe you think you're driving Miss Daisy and you're supposed to be talking and getting involved the entire time. Is that maybe the problem?
I don't know. Bri, what do you think it is?
Who's Bri?
The producer over there.
Oh, hey.
That's me. I'm right here.
Hey.
You know, it's I do. There's a part of me that does kind of miss out on the car rides with Fred. I'll be quite honest with you. But I think the problem, Fred, is that you're one of those people, which is to say probably the rest of the world joins you in this, is that you can't. You have a problem with dead air. You have a problem with just silence around
people. I need
to feel
it. You need to think.
Like, you feel awkward if there's people in a room and they're not talking to each other. I wonder if you do it with your wife all the time as well. Or are you able to sit in a room alone with your wife and shut up?
My girl complains that I don't talk. She's like, I need to talk more.
See, when I sit at home and I smoke pot and relax in my house, I like to get really, really high, and then I like to sit in silence. I like to just be, like, with my head spinning a million miles an hour. Are you the type of guy that can't just, because you, I mean, let's be honest, when you're not working, you're perpetually high. Are you, your head, you're constantly looking to talk while you're sitting around high?
I guess it's between different people. I guess I feel comfortable around my girl not to talk, and when I'm with other people, I do need to feel.
Defense mechanism has to kick in? Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know what, that's funny you brought that up, because that's how I felt. As if I had smoked or something, and I was just like, I couldn't bring myself to talk. It was weird.
Grass?
I was, as if I had done marijuana.
Dude.
Weed. I left the house, and I was, you know, I was in a good mood, and I got in the car, and I immediately just like, you know, Fred was like, what's up, man? And I was like, I was all ready to begin, and then all of a sudden, slowly, I just felt this weighed down feeling, and I couldn't talk anymore, like.
My ego is going way down.
You sure it wasn't just the impending doom that you had to do a show tonight? Like, ah.
No, I'm usually very excited
lately.
I gotta
go there and be around these asses again, and ah.
Fred, you make him feel high.
To be honest with you, for the past three times I drove Keith, he has this nervous tick where he'll cough. He'll go, and then he'll roll. Like, first I roll down the window, like his window, to make, you know, I think it's a sickness, but he'll keep doing. I'm like, Keith, are you all right? You sick? He goes, no. I'm just nervous. I'm just nervous about doing the show. I'm excited. Like, I can't breathe. And when I can't breathe, I start to cough.
Yeah, it's the last few times I've gotten very excited when I get in the car. And excited for the show, and I start coughing. And
he's like a little puppy.
But tonight I didn't, though. Tonight I didn't get excited.
He didn't get excited? Didn't cough? I didn't need to roll down the window?
I'm telling you, the concept of someone coughing from nervousness is one of the weirdest, dumbest, and I was convinced fakest things I'd ever heard of in my life.
It sounds fake.
But the thing is, this isn't the first time I've heard it. One of my old coworkers, a guy that used to be known to our listeners as the Yeehaw guy, who used to call into our program at times, used to cough when he would get nervous too. I was like, what the hell is that? That's the stupidest thing. That can't even be real.
The fact that he just went Yeehaw.
You know, I know, it's weird, right? But the fact that I know more than one person now that has a nervous cough is odd to me. It's odd, and I'm impressed. Congratulations.
Well, I didn't have it tonight, so.
I think I'm going to take some conversation classes. Do they have those where I can brush up on my conversation?
You're fine. It was funny, though, because, like, it was quiet. It would be quiet for a few seconds, and then Fred would be like, so, like, just trying to get the conversation going, and I'm not giving him anything. And then at one point, he's, like, doing something like.
I'm
like,
not giving him anything.
Like singing to himself or, like bebopping or something.
I'm scatting. I'm trying to entertain him in some way. I'm doing a soft shoe.
You're trying to fill up the empty space with stuff. I guess that's kind of what the cough is as well. Like, you feel uncomfortable. Clearly, you're sitting in a car, a confined space with another person, and no words are being exchanged. You got to fill it up with some sort of, like, at least a clucking sound.
No, mine is different, because mine is while I'm talking. I'm all excited and stuff, and then I just start coughing while I'm spewing words out left and right. But, yeah, it was weird. I felt bad. And then I said to Fred finally, I was like, yeah, I can't talk. I don't know what's wrong. I didn't want him to feel weird.
Leave me alone. Stop talking to me. Leave me alone.
Yeah, his reaction was, this is great. It's good we're driving to a radio show.
Awesome.
I feel terrible. What?
There's nothing for you to feel terrible for. I think you're a great fella. I think it's nice that you like to fill the spaces in a conversation. It makes life easy on those that don't want that.
Well, Keith is the douche not to give me anything. He's just like, I quit. I'm not even going to give you anything.
I know.
He's a reason.
He's a piece of garbage. He's a real, real piece of garbage. I agree. Speaking of pieces of garbage, allow me to say the most un-piece of garbage associated with this show, by the way, that show being Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. I'd like to say our associate producer, if I could just say that officially on the air, our buddy Keith Fu has been doing a thankless job for weeks now. He's been streaming us in Pal Talk to alleviate our technical issues that we've been having to try and get our sound working properly. And I just want to offer a thanks and let him know that our appreciation is firmly with him. And I hope he absorbs every bit of it, because I think it's fantastic. It helps us out week in and week out.
Yeah, the people in Pal Talk really kind of appreciate that. Before them, it was just like loud burst of screeching noise would chase people out. out the front door, screaming with their hair on fire.
Oh, it was the Best in Show Monday Night Clip Show all over.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Keith Fu.
Thank you,
Keith. Good man, good fella, good stuff.
Keith Fu is a Facebook friend of mine.
Was, you mean?
No, is. I don't know. We discussed it. We touched on it last week.
We hinted at the fact last week that a day after Keith announced on the show that he had quit, that he started sending me PMs on Facebook like a day later.
I need my fix.
Yeah, it was like 3 days later. I was out a total of about 9 to 10 days. I was gone from Facebook. And
was it really that long?
Yeah, just about.
Okay.
And the second I signed back in to Facebook, I think I talked about this last week. I started looking at it, and I was just kind of like, why did I come back here? Why on earth did I come back here? But now it's kind of like I don't really spend much time on it like I used to, because I still use it as the crutch, you know, the time filler and the time waster. I click on Facebook to, you know, while I'm sitting at my computer. Like if I'm doing an assignment for school that's annoying me, obviously I'm just going to go look at Facebook instead.
You're going to have to check to see if somebody's updated their status with something silly that happened at lunch that day.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I go there, but then I just keep seeing these most pretentious things. And like this past week, it was something they were calling Doppelganger Week, or the past 2 weeks on Facebook, and people were urged to change their profile picture to the picture of somebody they believe, you know, they've been told they look like. And we recently discussed.
My wife put up the white Michael Jackson photos.
Yeah, we've recently discussed, like, I could have played along and put up
Ricky Gervais. Or you could put
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins.
The whole band. But I don't. I hate theme weeks, first of all, but I'm blown away by some of the people I know think they look like.
Who they think they look like?
Pretentious. Wow. It's like you don't. Yeah, I'm gonna pick a random person out of the air, so I'm not accusing someone.
Steve LaRper? Did you see who?
I didn't see his.
Steve LaRper thinks he looks like Billy Joe from Green Day, which I sort of see a little bit. I sort of see it. So that one's not, I don't think that.
I don't
one's,
know what Steve LaRper looks like.
He looks kind of like Billy Joe a little bit from Green Day.
Oh, I've seen him then. He was in Green Day.
Did a fat Alec Baldwin put my picture up?
Alec Baldwin. You know, I don't want to mock anyone, but like you don't look like Beyonce. Who told you you do?
If I was still on Facebook, don't think I wouldn't put Leonardo DiCaprio up for mine.
I think you could almost get away with that because you kind of look like him.
I couldn't get away with a Leonardo.
Somebody told you look like him, though.
Yes.
What my old band used to perform, we used to have Fred open up the shows for us, acting as Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, because he looked so much like him. And still does, I'll say. I think you look like a young Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't think you look like Revolutionary Road today, Leo. But I think you could pass for a young Leonardo.
Chris, you definitely look like Paul McCartney. Or the guitarist from System of a Down. You're a mixture between the two.
Paul McCartney's not the guitarist from System of a Down?
No.
I will say that the guitarist from System of a Down, I have his eyes, because we both have the oddly slanted eyes. And I think
Why does either of you know what the guitarist from System of a Down looks like?
Because a million people told me I look like him. By a million, like two. But still, so, and being the vain.
Fred was the second one. Just
right, obviously. And being the vain bastard that I am, I had to immediately say, yo, is that guy good looking? Oh, he's stupid looking.
Not into the Sizemore thing? Tom Sizemore thing?
He doesn't look too much like Tom Sizemore.
I'm going to say that I agree 100% with our buddy Pristine Sneakers, Brian's mandate in the Pal Talk room, who's saying I look a little bit like Dennis Rodman. I see it. I think I look a little Dennis Rodman-y. No?
It's the dumb tattoos.
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah. Must be it.
And the alcoholism. Oh, the ex-alcoholism now that he's in rehab.
I'm not in rehab. Oh, you meant Rodman. Sorry.
Brian is definitely the guy, Kirk Douglas from...
Yeah, obviously. Is it Kirk? No, it's Michael Douglas.
No, I think he's Michael Douglas' son, and Brian said that it was only because of the glasses, but if you look at Michael Douglas' son's mugshot, I think he looks like Brian.
I'll have to take a look.
He'll have 10 years to think about it now. So.
But if you're on Facebook and you're going to buy into that whole doppelganger thing, you're going to put up the best. You're going to put up the Angelina Jolies and the Brad Pitts.
Isn't that embarrassing? That's not embarrassing to do when you know you don't look like that
Guess
person?
What? It's embarrassing to be on Facebook.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Being on Facebook, Facebook alone is dumb. But actually joining into like any sort of like fun little, hey, this is the game this week we're going to do, I can't be involved. I'm not going to have anything to do with it.
Going to super poke you and tell you and show you what I look like.
Yeah, theme weeks have to go. It's the worst possible thing. And these are the things now that I'm seeing, and I'm just like, what the hell am I back on?
I'm telling you, though, there's a function to it. There's a function to it. There are people you talk to all the time.
Getting laid. That's the function.
But I'm not looking to get laid on Facebook. I'm looking for friends. I'm there for networking and friends.
You know what? It's not to get laid, but I will admit that there were people that when I signed off there were people that when I got off Facebook, I was like, wait, I talk to these people every day, and now I don't have a way to talk to them anymore.
There
like,
you go.
People that I don't necessarily email. You know, I have some email addresses of people, but it is pretty convenient, way more so than MySpace ever was.
Fantastic. There's tons of people. I've reconnected with people that I haven't spoken to in years. There are people, you know, there's all sorts of people that you talk to on the road. It's neat. It's neat. I like Facebook. That's what I have to say about the entire thing.
But I did, you know what, it didn't, but I will say this much, I haven't wasted time on it. I haven't wasted time nearly as much. I've been very productive. I have to admit, Chris talked about the shakes that he would drink, the vegetable fruit shakes.
Shakes he would get from a different thing.
No.
From not having
a drink. Why do we have to keep talking about my alcoholism today? I don't understand it.
God.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to comment that RF Tangible saying in the Pal Talk room, important things that you need to get to, you're not wasting time with, you're getting the real things done on Facebook, like Farmville, like things that you need to get to.
Well, Scramble for me, but yeah. Chris talked about the shakes he was drinking every morning, and I think that was probably a huge part of all your weight loss, right?
His green drinks?
The green drinks, yeah.
I don't know if it was the green drinks as much as not drinking beer, but yeah, I think that the drinking, the not eating food and drinking vegetables during the day had something to do with it too.
So I started a few days ago. I bought a bunch of vegetables and fruit, and I started drinking these things.
How do you make them in a blender? You put everything.
Yeah,
in a blender?
I blend like you know mostly kale and spinach and now broccoli. I'm adding things in, but
no sweets. It's all
no. I put in apples and apples, bananas, strawberries, but. I have to
not a Kit Kat or anything, right? You don't put
no Kit Kat, no ice cream,
beef,
no
just
sugar.
Beef gravy, beef gravy and a potato.
Well, when you said kale, you meant bacon cheeseburgers.
Obviously,
bacon cheeseburger, I call it. That's the vegetable. But
you have this for just breakfast.
Just for breakfast and lunch, I've been doing it.
Wow. Oh, you've been doing two a day?
I've been doing two a day. I have to tell you,
you're going
to
burn yourself out.
I know. I probably will, but I'm not nearly as hungry as I thought I would be, because I've done diets where I lost weight in the past, but I was hungry from day one through day 60 or whatever. I was hungry and annoyed and miserable. But it's not only that. Like, for some reason, it's gotten me to the point. It's probably psychological. I probably have this thing in my head that subconsciously that I'm doing something I'm supposed to be doing now. But, like, all these things I wasn't doing for the longest time in the house that I have to do, I've suddenly...
Bathing.
Yeah. Leaving the house.
Wiping when you go.
Yeah, all these things like, you know, like organizing things and stuff like that. And I don't know, I've just been doing them more so. I think I had a real sense of self-hate when I was sleeping late, not working, waking up, eating like eggs and cheese and butter and bagels and stuff. It was making me feel worse about myself as the day went on.
I will say one day a week, which I like to indulge with, and I'd recommend everyone try it. One egg, a scoop of salsa and black beans and a whole wheat wrap. Delightful. That's one day a week.
That's indulging?
That's my indulgence breakfast once a week. Yeah.
Keith, I say
indulgence breakfast. Okay.
Breakfast. Okay. Yeah.
Chris says you're going to burn yourself out with two shakes. I say you bump it up three shakes.
Three
liquid
shakes.
Diet for 2 or 3 weeks.
He won't make it.
How much weight do you think I have to lose?
You have to lose 100 pounds. What are you guys laughing at?
I've weighed 100 pounds less than this as an adult.
You
so
can't. You're what? You're what, 230-ish?
I think I'm low 220s.
Really?
No, yeah, I thought I was too.
I find that a little hard to believe.
3 weeks ago, I weighed myself. I was 219, but I don't. I don't know.
I saw you 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
With your height, you should be 100.
Remember the good old days.
At 185 pounds.
So you think that's not 100 pounds.
Probably less than that, actually. How tall are you, Keith?
5'9", 5'10". It depends on the doctor I go to. So I usually go lower. As the opposite of everyone else, I go lower, so I'm not trying to be taller than I am. So I'll say 5'9". Is a safe bet.
Yeah, I you know,
160.
I'm sure someone
155.
Could like
that's
go,
what you should.
Yeah, if you go on the internet, you'll find like something that'll tell you your ideal weight.
That weight can stay on the internet because if I get to 190, I will consciously make sure I don't lose any more weight.
NorCal Murph points it out in the Pal Talk room. Now I know why you weigh 220 pounds. Your scale only goes to 220. That must be it.
It actually goes to 210, oddly enough.
Pounds, right? Not kilometers? Or kilograms.
Yeah.
I wrote
no kilometers is better.
See, I weigh miles and miles. I can weigh for miles.
See, Keith, your mindset, what you just said right there, when I reach 190, I'm stopping. It's no holds barred. You'll never get to 190 with that attitude. You need to adopt a whole new lifestyle. Chris has really done it, man. He has adopted a whole new lifestyle, and this is what he does now.
Indeed.
It's a part of his life, and he doesn't even look at the scale. Like, he just came in today and said, I looked at the scale the first time, and I broke 200. I didn't even realize.
Yeah, I got on the scale today, and I am under 200 pounds for the first time, and I couldn't tell you how long. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm 106 pounds. I'm 199 pounds. I'll be honest with you. I ate potato chips today at work and Reese's Pieces. I actually splurged today, so I'm probably over 200 by now. But this morning I was under 200 pounds.
But believe the difference between this time, like I'm really not. I mean, I kind of want to lose weight, but the weight loss for the first time in a long time has a lot less to do with vanity. I mean, that's always going to be a part of it, obviously, but it has a lot less to do with vanity than it does to, like, fear. Like, I started being really scared that I was just constantly, like, not feeling well at all.
And that's how it starts. That's how it should start. When you take a flight of stairs and you're like... Like, that's when you should realize...
The guy ordering a sandwich.
Yeah, maybe you got to start doing something at that point.
Yeah, but before, he was complaining earlier, moments ago, he was complaining about not feeling physically bad, but feeling emotionally bad. Like, sitting at home feeling sad and actually depressed about your...
Mental
your
health is definitely a part of health. It all ties together.
I think it was part of... If I would eat that and then
Keith's brain must be real fat.
If I would eat that and then go to work, for some reason the long stretch of unemployment coupled with gorging myself on these unhealthy foods and then laying there watching TV while there's things around the house that, you know, I've been promising my girlfriend I'm going to do that just go undone, it just started getting to me. And
but then you made one positive step and it got everything going and put you in a good place. Like our buddy Entropy saying in the Heroes Talk Room, psychosomatic. It all goes together. It all ties in. Once your head is in a good place, then everything could get in a better place.
You think Keith's going to lose weight when he gets happy?
I don't know.
You think that has a direct correlation?
I don't know.
Because he can indulge in more food if you get
there are people that are happy that then gorge. There are people that derive happiness from eating food.
That's me.
I'm 100%.
That's definitely me.
Yeah.
I've been going the opposite direction. Instead of like eating more healthy, I've been actually going out of my way to eat unhealthy. I've been I think I told you about it off the air, Keith. I took a bold step and made my own mayonnaise.
You didn't only tell me about it. You didn't only tell me about it. You sent me a beautiful picture of it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say sent you a sample. Like, he doesn't even eat mayonnaise.
The top of it, which is probably fine to all you guys, but the top of the picture just looked like as if he had hacked up phlegm, and there was a little ball of phlegm at the top.
Would you make it with eggs and Earl?
Egg yolk and oil, yeah, corn oil. I started light with. I want to perfect it with corn oil before I start flavoring it.
You put a little bit of vinegar in there, too, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I did vinegar and lemon juice, salt, sugar as well.
Have any?
Yeah, I have some left over. I mean,
how old
I used,
is it?
I think I made it Tuesday.
I'm uncomfortable with that.
I'll tell you what, it's not a comfortable thing. I don't know if you've ever made your own mayonnaise, but it doesn't. It smells like bad mayonnaise, and it tastes soury. It tastes definitely vinegary. Like there's a heft to it.
You're selling me on trying it. The fact that it's 2 days old and it smells bad.
2 days. It smells bad when you make it. Like the moment that you make it, it smells bad.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it.
I
I love mayonnaise, though. I really love mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is probably my favorite condiment.
I'll give you a, you can pop a cap and smell it. But fair warning, I'm telling you, it doesn't smell like your typical mayonnaise.
It smells sort of mayonnaise-y. Would you like to try it?
Looks more like pudding than
mayonnaise.
After doing that, I also boiled up a whole bunch of hard-boiled eggs, and I mixed it in large quantities with eggs and just ate it with a spoon.
Were you just eating it right there while you were trying to talk in the microphone?
I'm so glad
the cheese I made after with it. This mayonnaise is, I mean, I love mayonnaise to begin with. I could sit there and eat it with a spoon. I can't do it so much with this one.
You don't like mayonnaise at all? It's
I
mayonnaise.
Like mayonnaise. I'm
sorry. It bothers me so much to hear mayonnaise.
I was thinking it sounds like it's exactly.
I'm not French. I'm American. I'm going to speak the American pronunciation of mayonnaise.
They didn't say that. Call mayonnaise still.
Mayonnaise?
No, not mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
I'm so glad we've progressed to the point now where Chris doesn't even ask me or offer it to me or suggest I smell it. It's just like
there's nothing worse than the smell of egg and like
I'm blown away by the fact that so and I do eat eggs, but like egg salad type foods, you know, hard boiled eggs and egg salad. I can't. They're
so delicious.
Regular store-bought mayonnaise is sort of like filler for that. This stuff is this. It overwhelms the taste of the egg. Like, you can just put it on toast and eat it, and it's kind of a meal itself,
you really,
just the mayonnaise.
You can't just eat, like, Hellman's on eggs and it would be not just filler, that it actually really embodies it. You got to load up.
I'm a big fan of the mayonnaise. I like the wedding platter that you've talked about many, many times, as
absolutely.
I do a version of that myself.
Yeah, for those that don't know what we're talking about, the wedding platters, when you get cheeses and crackers, and if you're so inclined, meats, I suppose, and put them all on a plate, nice and like a circle, and right in the middle of the plate, you put a big glob, not quite a dollop, a full glob of mayonnaise or mustard, if you prefer, or maybe both together, and you could dip random meats, cheeses, and breads and crackers all in globs of mayo.
But now that I know what like homemade mayonnaise tastes like, it's different. It's not just a spread. It's not an accompaniment. It's actually like a part of the meal itself.
The meal, yeah. By the way, apparently you're not alone, Keith. RF Tangible and Jen Jen are both saying in the Pal Talk room that they hate mayo, that they have she has a mayo phobia. People are not fans. I'm telling you, I love it. I could probably eat mayo like it's pudding. You said it looked like pudding. Ugh. I could probably sit.
No, I said it looked like phlegm.
No. Fred before said it looked
like tapioca pudding.
Well, yeah. I could probably sit with a jar of Hellman's and a spoon and just go to town.
You guys will like this. Just because you make it with eggs, with raw eggs. So just in case, and the slight chance that there's salmonella. In it, you have to kind of keep it out for an hour or two so that the acid of the vinegar and the lemon juice will kill anything that's kind of growing in there before you refrigerate it. So while it sits out, it kind of a yellow kind of phlegmy crust film kind of coats at the end of it.
You just made my favorite condiment sound gross. You made me not want to have it. I'm starting to agree with everybody else now.
Well, I mean, salmonella must have a distinctive taste on its own, but I wanted to pass. Just
salmonella. His brother Mikey must taste great too. Yeah, you know, getting into this whole food thing and getting excited about the idea of eating. It's you know, you brought up the fact that you're starting to lose weight, and I've been losing weight. And the fact is, I feel kind of like I have lost a substantial amount of weight and everything. But regardless of that, I still get like excited and crazy about food. I think that no matter what weight I am, even if I got to be like, you know, like 100 pounds, which obviously I never will, but even if I got to that, I'm still a fat guy at heart. I think no matter what, the excitement level that food arises in me.
Well, why does it have to be a fat guy? Why is that ultimately linked to a fat guy thing? Isn't that just human? Isn't that just a human thing? Like, don't you think there are skinny people that have always been skinny and are foodies just like you?
Do you know what? I never for a minute, I always equate being a foodie with being a fatty. Mm-hmm. I guess there's something to be said for that. I guess maybe the fact that my weight loss has a lot to do with depriving myself of food. I feel like you can't be a foodie and a non-fatty at the same time.
I can tell you they exist. All the Fire Island experience that I had some time ago, on the summers I would go vacation there, was a very food-centric house. Lots of like cooks and people who write about food and all these people show up and do all kinds of wacky things with huge meals that are not even remotely healthy. I would say pretty much all of them are just they're right out of some sort of Gay Crew magazine. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, none of them have the smallest amount of fat. It's a little disappointing, actually, because they're out on the beach. They're all, like, getting in their bathing suits, and I'm, like, in my snowsuit and T-shirts underneath trying to hide from everybody. It's just downright embarrassing.
You're hiding underneath an umbrella of noodles. Just pounds and pounds of noodles.
Just fat and shame.
I think a lot of people, it's the, you know, the metabolism. Like, there's people that eat constantly and just don't get any weight. And for somebody like us, we have to, like, be extreme to maintain the same weight other people do. You know, like, we have to live some sort of an extreme life, not just, you know, kind of this carefree thing.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because of metabolism. I think it's just...
You could change your metabolism very easily with a little bit of exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Extreme.
Well, I will say this. I guess maybe skinny people just eat differently. Because these people were kind of skinny or athletic, at least. They weren't emaciated in any way. But they had this thing that they'd make every once in a while, deep fried Oreos. They'd take the Oreos,
delicious,
they'd batter them up, and then they'd drop them like in a
deep fryer.
Yeah, and then they'd eat like one or two. And then I'd take
one or two.
Right. And then I'd have my three or four, and then I'd take the uncooked Oreos with me into a closet somewhere and just start drinking with the milk.
I would imagine
what happened with all the Oreos.
I would imagine that a package of Oreos, if you're starting to fry, you should be just frying the package, no? Not that you should be eating the entire thing, but you would fry it.
If you're cooking in groups, there's a lot of people, you don't want to be the guy who's, I'm going to eat 10 and one guy isn't going to get any. So you start slow. People have one or two, and they're dipping it in mounds of whipped cream or whatever. They get two in and like, oh, you know, that's enough.
See, that's, I mean, as much as it's, I don't want to say it's enough, I do find the problem now with the fact of eating as little as I have, that my appetite has shrunken, and I will still go to, like, start to eat like I'm going to, and then I'll get really full really quick now. I've gotten, it's changed somewhat.
Really?
I force myself to gorge myself every now and again. Like today, for example, and understand, you're saying you go on this vacation, it's a very food-centric house, and these chefs and whatnot. I'm not talking necessarily about, like, fine cuisine.
Right.
Something that I am passionate about is chips. I am a chip obsessor. I get insane when I go to a store that I want to find if there's anything, any new chip that they have there that I want to have, and I have to enjoy it.
I'm with you on that.
I love watching Chris get mad when somebody brings up a chip he didn't know existed.
I spent an hour today online trying to decide whether I was going to order from Hers online or Utz online because I... Well, the thing is, both of them have a version of the crab chip. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, they do like an old bay seasoning, like a crab seasoning on these chips. And you can't get them basically any place other than in like the Chesapeake Bay area. That's really the only place that
they're made out of sliced crabs, thinly sliced crabs.
Obviously.
That they deep fry. Yeah, they're delicious.
But I'm telling you, it's the most delicious thing in the world, and you can't get it here. And there are Utz and Hers factories in this area, and people that drive around to you cannot get them here. You have to order them. So I was trying to decide online whether I was going to go to the Hers website or the Utz website. And then I started looking through the Hers website. Hers is so good. Make Hers yours, allow me to say. I know they don't pay for commercials
here
on Heroes Talk, but they deserve one because they are so good.
My problem with Utz is it seems like Utz makes really good like snack foods, and then their final step before they put them in the bag is to like deep fry them in some sort of liquefied salt. Like, Utz just is buried in salt. It's too much.
I love salt. I love it all. By the way, Baby Girl is saying in the Pal Talk room that the bar that she used to work at used to make homemade crab chips. I would go crazy for that. I love Old Bay seasoning on anything.
Chris, I'm the same way as you. Like, I'll go down the aisle and look at every chip and be like, oh, my God, this is great, this is great, this is great. And then I'll look at the back and see the contents and the fat and the calories.
You just ruined it.
And, exactly. And then because I want to ruin it for myself.
What do you expect? Oh, okay. I thought you were expecting something else from potato chips.
Well, I'm expecting to see 0 grams of fat, no calories.
Have you ever been politely surprised? Like, oh, wow, this is – or do you look at that? Do you turn it over and say, no calories, 0 grams? And you get, this has got to taste like crap. This can't possibly taste good. I've got to put it away.
Oh, man, our buddy Cactus Phone is saying in the Here Sokum that he lives in the area where they make the crab chips. I am so jealous. I'm going to order online. I just haven't decided. I'm going to order a house down there so I can buy the chips. And whenever I go on vacation places, that's what I want. I want to know, like, what the chip of the area
of that
is.
Area.
I swear to
the local chip.
I swear to God. Or whatever. You know what it is? Not necessarily only the chip. The product, But the junk food product of that area is what I'm interested in.
The Cape Cod is good. The Cape Cod potato chips. Have you had those?
Never had it.
Cape Cod.
Never
had
it.
They have a lighthouse on them, and they're.
You never had those?
Cape Cod chips.
Those are so common.
What do they taste
like? Oh, whoa, whoa, the brand.
The brand Cape Cod.
But they sell that in New York. Mm-hmm. They sell that.
But they have a lot of good flavors. Cape Cod chips.
I've only seen the white bag, which is the regular potato chip.
I didn't realize there was like localized snacks so much. Like I just assumed there's an assembly line, and they send the majority of the snacks out everywhere.
If you go down to My wife's brother lives down in South Carolina. Whenever we're down there, you can get the jalapeno crunchy cheese doodles. They do flaming hot crunchy cheese doodles around here every place. I've never seen the jalapeno ones. The jalapeno ones are a little more mild. It's so nice. They're delicious.
I didn't know they were different cheese doodles.
Fred is laughing over on the side. You don't know that I took this as seriously as I did?
You talking about chips, Chris, is like Brian talking about video games.
Oh,
like the intensity and the nerdom that's coming out. Like, you know, all like the localized.
Well, I mean, to tell you, subsequently, in South Carolina, they have these jalapeno chips. Gob, gob, gob.
And they have a lot of sweet barbecue ones down there, too, that you don't get here. Sweet barbecue. Yesterday, at an Exxon station in Weehawken, New Jersey, grilled cheese cheese puffs. So it's like a cheese doodle, but it's grilled cheese flavored. Huh. It's butter and cheese on the doodle. Oh. Holy F, one of my favorite things in the world. And guess who makes them? Hers.
Is it sticky?
It's no.
It's like
no.
The butter pretzels are sticky.
No, it's a regular cheese dough. It just has cheese dust on it.
But you are a fat guy, dude. You do have a mind
exactly.
of a fat guy. You really do.
And they're hers chips, so I will be making hers mine. Make hers yours. I'm going to be ordering the crab chips and the grilled cheese chips. And they also had a hot honey cheese curl on there that I have to order, too. I've never tried that.
Chris, I know you're losing weight, and yes. You're doing it successfully and in the right way. But do you think this obsession with food will
ultimately be my demise?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Really?
100%.
Well,
the fact of the matter is, I enjoy all these things, and I haven't not purchased all these things, and I haven't not, like, I'm going to say that week in and week out, I go to the supermarket, and half of my cart is filled with all sorts of fresh fruits and vegetables that I wind up putting in a blender or eating in a salad later, mostly in a blender, though. And the other half of my cart is filled with junk food chips, salt and pepper chips, and barbecue chips, and three different kinds of Doritos because I love the taco, but I also love the new cheesy quesadilla and chips, man. I could live in a chip aisle for the rest of my life.
That's going to be your ultimate demise. Really, it really is.
But the thing is, I get so frantic about it already, and it hasn't been ruining me. The fact is, I still will drink. I will drink vegetables for half of the day. Then just the other half of the day, I'm sitting there gorging myself on sodium.
I think it's hard to gain back. You can gain back weight. But I think, and
you can
probably gain back a lot, but I think it's hard. If you're really drinking these vegetable shakes, like, twice for breakfast and lunch, it's going to be hard. There's only so much you can gain back.
I don't even do that, because twice a day is too much. It's too fattening for me. I do a protein, a 100-calorie protein shake for breakfast. Whereas the milk, the vegetable shake, you're talking like
two. What's too fattening? What is fat?
Yeah, the vegetable one's too much. That's probably like 300 calories. I don't need that much. I need like 100 calories to get me through the morning, and then 300 calories in the afternoon, and then I go home and
10,000 calories
eat potato chips until I'm dead.
You understand if you drank
a sensible meal of 4 bags of potato chips.
I think if you drank 25 of those shakes a day, you would just keep losing weight nonstop.
They say that's Oprah's demise, is that she's a chippy like you.
Oh, my God.
She's a chipaholic.
I am the Oprah of Hear Us Talk. That's fine.
You like the real dirty ones, too, the ones that leave your mouth and your fingers. And
the damaged chips he likes.
I've got news for you. I don't want to bring up, keep getting into chips and getting people crazy and getting you hungry, but also at that same Exxon station, they had a tomato-flavored chip. That had the Tabasco sauce. So it was tomato and Tabasco. Holy Christ, was that good. Wasn't as good as the grilled cheese. My mouth is watering. Oh, my God, I'm going to die.
See, again, I'm very jealous that someone could get excited for such a small thing. Like, I wish I could just do that for something.
I dig food and junk food and food in general and stuff like that, but I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. I get stuck. Well, I do enjoy sweets, but I'm not an explorer. Like, I get stuck on one thing, and I like it a lot, and I just eat that to death. Like, when you say chips, the only thing that pops into my head is, like, salt and vinegar kettle chips, which I'll go out and buy 3 bags and go through them in, like, one sitting.
Can I just tell you what you should do, though? buy two bags and get one bag of something new every time you go. If I go into a store and there is a product there, I'll go beyond chips. If there's a product in that store that's like a quick thing, be it candy, be it a soda, be it anything, and I've never had it before, how could you not try it?
Sometimes I do. I will kind of try a new one if it's been that foreign to me, but I always kind of feel like I've wasted it because I could have bought a bag of salt vinegar kettle chips.
See, I disagree. I don't think it's going to be his demise. I think if you're cutting out alcohol, you're cutting out meat, you're cutting out things that you've...
I don't think that the meat has anything to do with the weight loss because I eat cheese.
I don't mean for the weight loss.
He has to make a compromise.
I mean, if you're cutting out the alcohol and the meat, things you've loved. I mean, you've loved alcohol and meat. You've loved meat like no one else in your life.
Chris made love to meat.
So it.
I was passionate about.
I think
my
you
meat.
Need your chip obsession to kind of keep you. You need to be obsessed about
that's
something.
Something that's going to balance me.
I think
especially
the snack
because your
obsession,
alcoholism
yeah.
is on hold for now.
On hold?
Like, yeah, you need to have that chip.
Fred protection. With the vote of confidence.
What are you talking about? My alcoholism is here to stay. It's just that I'm dry.
It's dormant.
I'm just not enjoying. I'm not going to be. I'm not actively participating in it. It's
I didn't know alcoholism hibernated.
Alcoholism lives here. It absolutely does. It'll live here forever, but I'm not gonna get into it.
And God Almighty, a chip and a beer, that's the two things that go great together.
I could, you know what? I never got to enjoy a crab chip with a beer. I would imagine that would be outstanding.
Get an O'Doul's.
Ice cold Coors
you know
Light.
What? I think next week I'm gonna bring some O'Doul's to the shop and enjoy them. I think I hate O'Doul's, though. Maybe I'll go for a Coors Cutter instead. It'll be a lot nicer.
I always keep the two separated. Like, I'll drink. Maybe it's because I don't drink beer, but when I'm drinking alcohol, usually it's whiskey or something sweet or something like that. I really don't ever have the urge to eat anything when it's happening. I'm either eating a lot of food and not drinking or drinking a lot and not eating.
I'm big into coffee. Like, I enjoy a good cup of coffee, and that's kind of my little obsession.
My favorite thing in the world? Hot chocolate. Coffee, mix the two together. Yeah, make nice. A real mocha, not the mocha flavored stuff. They mm-hmm. get you a real hot chocolate and a real coffee. Mix them together.
It's pretty good.
Delightful.
Do you ever dip a buttered bagel into coffee?
Of course. Oh. I'm a human being.
Really? Really? A buttered bagel?
Don't would I wouldn't drink the coffee afterwards because it's gross.
I would.
It's got butter in it.
But. I would. I would put a scoop of butter into my coffee instead of sugar.
It makes. Don't hold it in too long, but just dip it in for a second. It makes it all taste.
There's
so
no
good.
Way I'm eating a buttered bagel. That is fattening.
Yeah, it is. I've been noticing my palate's getting simpler and simpler.
You're an anti-foodie.
Right, sort of, I guess. Like, I think I'm getting less and less complex. I realize that I like butter and salt more and more. It's to the point that I'm thinking of sitting down with a stick of butter and salt and just
what
going
kind of
to
salt?
Town on it. I like kosher salt. Like
kosher
the big,
salt
thick
is
grains
so
of kosher
good.
Salt.
I hate iodized salt. It tastes like metal.
Well, you don't have to have the iodized. Sometimes you got to cook with the smaller grains, though. You know what I mean? Like with mayonnaise, you can't make with kosher salt. You got to use the regular salt.
You can live on just get bread and potatoes, and that's it. And just butter everything, and you can just live on that. Pretty
yeah, but that's
you'll
just those are the things to hold butter and salt. Like, forget about the bread and the potatoes; just the butter and the salt. I'm thinking would be really, really good.
Last night, I needed a snack late at night. I got myself a cucumber out of the fridge and peeled it off, and just brought the box of kosher salt to the couch and just sat and ate a ton of just salt on a cucumber. So good. I should have smeared butter on it too.
Sadly, because I've been doing egg salad, hard boiled eggs and salt has been my go to snack now. Just
terrific.
Just a half dozen hard boiled eggs and salt sitting down, and I'm like not even half full.
I'm gonna guess you're losing weight, hand over fist, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure of it.
Eating a dozen eggs while relaxing. It doesn't
eggs
on the way to food.
Dinner. Yeah, that's what it is. It doesn't fill me up. Maybe it's because I'm scarfing it down so quickly is the real problem. Is I keep going. I'm not chewing the food. Like I'm chewing it, and the salt goes after three bites, so I'm swallowing it down so I can get another bite of food with salt in me.
Do you eat pretzels at all?
Not enough salt. Too much dough.
What I'm going to ask is, at the end of pretzels, would you take the salt at the dust at the bottom of a pretzel
Definitely.
Bag?
Definitely. I love the chip bags are my favorite. At the end
chips
of a chip bag with all the seasoning at the end of it. Oh.
Chips are different because chips are mostly like it's some sort of flavoring and residue of the chip. The bottom of a pretzel
salt,
bag is
definitely.
Just a bag of salt that you're pouring. It's a salt residue.
And it's usually good salt, like nice big chunks of salt. Really good.
Oh, see, I'm not into food at all, man. I'm just waiting for it to be over. I don't even savor it like,
hey,
as it's going
this,
on.
You said this a couple of weeks ago. It bothers me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I just want to get it over with. It's just like a chore.
So why don't you just drink vegetable shakes?
Because I know that's that'll probably kill me. You know, I'm sure that's not enough.
Too much vegetables?
You know, and it's probably a pain in the ass to make.
But
it's
you not, cook.
You do it one day a week. You blend everything for the week. You enjoy yourself. It's so nice.
You told me you make your own guacamole. You think it's too much?
Holy
to just,
guacamole!
It's just that's the brand I buy. It's too much to blend.
But to blend, yeah.
It's not the blending. It's the cleaning.
And it's the protein. Am I going to get enough protein in my diet if I have it three times?
Of course. To quote Germ Freak, it's spinach. Spinach is so good for you.
You know what I am addicted to though? Peanuts. I love me.
Lots of protein in peanuts.
I love me salted peanuts. I don't think I could deal without my peanuts.
So how did it go when you were supposed to keep a kid away from peanuts? Those things have a clash.
It was tough, man. I couldn't have it.
Fred Satin told me that his new job was to keep a kid from... He started the next day. He just had to keep this kid away from peanut dust. He's a kid out of peanut allergy. Peanut dust. And he's shoveling peanuts into his mouth, just shoving his hand into the peanut jar while he's telling me this. And I'm thinking, in the next 24 hours, somehow Fred's going to transfer that peanut dust and this kid's going to be dead.
But how could you keep him? Isn't it like illegal to even have peanuts near a school at this point?
No, they still have them, but they have kids segregated into like a little quarantine area where, you know, the peanuts can't get them.
Plantis versus right.
The Nutters. That's where they put the Nutters.
Plantis versus Board of Ed. It was like a big thing.
By the way, if you guys have anything you want to share about food, please feel free to join us. 347-767-4247. That's 347-767-4BIS.
Food they want to share?
Yeah, obviously. But not peanuts. This is a peanuts. This is a non-peanuts zone. Yeah, I thought that schools, they didn't have peanuts in there anymore.
No, they try not to sell it at the... In the cafeteria, but kids bring peanut butter and jellies from the house. The kids at Brown.
My daughter's not allowed to bring peanut butter and jelly to school. We were told that next year she has to start getting into like cold cut sandwiches or cheese sandwiches or something, or like cream cheese and jelly sandwiches or whatever, because she doesn't eat like she won't have like a ham and cheese or bologna cheese. She doesn't like that.
I don't remember that happening as a kid.
And we had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at school, but that's because peanut allergy is a word like almost non-existent. I don't think.
There's a hamburger joint that it's kind of all over. They're all over the place now. Five Guys. I don't know if it's great hamburgers, by the way, but their fries are incredible. They deep fry them in peanut oil that apparently they make or something, because they have chest like 55-gallon barrels full of peanuts that they give to you while you're waiting for your order. But there's warning signs posted all over the restaurant. Do not take this outside. Peanuts cannot go out the door because of the fear of someone who has a peanut allergy, like, finding a peanut shell on the ground. Yeah.
Can't go out the door.
Like, they're worried about being sued, clearly, but it's, like, those sides are really hardcore. Like,
I watched, apparently in Canada, they're really strict about, I guess, what they put in their food and restrictions about, especially nuts and food allergies. He got his snacks delivered from Canada to him because he...
Peanutless Canada?
Yeah, peanutless Canada.
The land of no peanuts. This it's being said in the Pal Talk room that Five Guys does their frying in peanuts.
Is that saying, yeah.
It's Five Guys was the place to talk about? Yeah. I would have swore that Five Guys French fries are fried in lard. I would have just assumed
it's peanut oil, and they're delicious. God, you almost don't even need to salt them. Like, they give you an option of having spicy seasoning that they put on it, which is fine. But you really don't need salt. You don't need ketchup. They're fresh potatoes. They list the potatoes that they bought that day. Like, they have their potato connoisseurs. They get potatoes from different parts of the country.
The Five Guys that opened, or one of the Five Guys that opened in Manhattan, just a couple blocks from my office. And the other day, I was, like, the smell of their fries, they smelled so good, but I refused to have them because I was convinced that they must have been fried in lard.
Peanut oil.
All right, so I'm going to hit them up.
I don't know if they're really healthy just because they're peanut oil.
I'm not concerned about
their
health so much.
And they serve, their portion control is non-existent. Like, you get a regular fry, and they give you a styrofoam cup filled with it. They put that in a paper bag and then fill up the bag
with
fries
on top of it, yeah.
Well, is peanut oil sold, like, in stores? Can you buy peanut oil?
Of course, yeah.
Because I usually fry French fries in canola oil. But it doesn't taste as good, but it's obviously healthier than vegetable oil
Crisco.
Or something.
Fry everything in Crisco. It's so much better.
I'm wondering if maybe just trying a little peanut oil would be good.
It can't be good.
I'll put it in the shake section.
Yeah, exactly. Just go get some Five Guys French fries, drop those in your shake with your spinach, and everything will be terrific.
Well, luckily, the kid that I watched back then never got sick because, I do my job very well. But I'll tell you who is sick.
Who's that?
My bro that I'm watching now, the kid that I'm watching now, he's been out for the past 2 days. Monday, Tuesday, he was out. And Wednesday he was out. So he came in today and didn't look well. Didn't look well. I said, bro, you all right? He's like, ah.
Do you really call him bro?
Yeah. I said, bro, what's up? You all right? I'm all right. I said, you've been out for 3 days. So everything's all right? He said, yeah, I just had this virus. I still really don't feel good. He says, you know, I'm going to warn you. I might throw up today. I said, okay, all right. Sure enough, about 10 o'clock rolls around. Mister, I got to go. Go, what do you mean you got to go to the bathroom? No, I got to go throw up. I said, oh, man.
The fact that he has the cognizance to actually decide it in advance. So, I'm sorry, when I was a kid, and how old is he? What grade are you?
Six. He's 12.
Suddenly you were covered in it?
12th grade, yeah. Like
no, 6 years old. Sixth grade, 12 years old.
Yeah. Like sixth grade, you got to be hurling every place immediately. I couldn't imagine.
Because he has the foresight. He's old enough to get up and...
12? Well, I guess. Maybe 12's a little older.
So we get down, and I'm like, what person would send their child sick that's going to throw up all over the place? Mm-hmm. And then in the afternoon, one of my teachers was sick. Now, this guy's a grown-up. He's in the classroom sick. And I'm like, why are you even here? Oh, I'm sorry. I think I just touched your girlfriend's boob, right? Why would this guy come to work sick? And then I'm thinking about, all right, maybe he wants money. But if you're sick, you have sick days. You know, he doesn't have to lose a day's pay. You know, why come into work and then get me sick?
Yeah,
ultimately, I'm going to be sick.
It's bad enough when kids, you know, people send their kids to school sick. But, like, an adult that's going to be around kids going to school sick is pretty insane.
You know, I can understand his mom is going to send him to school. She's going to say, bro, get up and go to school.
Is the sick day situation, like, the sick day set up for teachers? Like,
they bring a doctor's note. They could get paid for...
It's not like they're giving them 3 days a year or something. And
why? I just don't understand.
What about a sense of duty to their profession? That they feel like they need to impart knowledge upon children.
Even if it's going to cause negative effects and children ultimately going to miss school because of it?
Well, then maybe that was his goal. He figured out my class will be empty next week.
He crop dusted the whole...
F these kids.
Maybe next, virus.
Next week he's bringing peanuts.
Maybe he wasn't sick before he came to school?
I don't know, but he looked miserable when I saw him.
I'll be honest, I'm definitely a guy that goes to
That's
work sick all the time.
Oh, so you got sick etiquette?
I don't do it because I'm trying to screw people over. I just feel like I have a sense of duty that I feel like I should be going to work.
There is a problem, though, because...
I shouldn't be kissing you at work, so there's nothing to worry about it.
When you go to work sick, your coworkers are kind of like, you're sick, don't get me sick, what are you coming to work sick for? But when you call up, you get attitude from your bosses if you call in sick, so it's kind of like, well, you know, make up my mind, you know...
The two things that she gets. Ah, dude, I can't believe you came here. You're getting me sick. You don't go into a, ah, how'd the fakeyotomy go yesterday? Get rid of your fakeyitis.
Yeah, then it's exactly. It's like you really can't win when it comes to that. But being around kids, you should probably be a little more conscious about
that. That sense of pride that Chris talks about, going to work sick, that's how the Black Plague started and perpetuated all throughout Europe.
I'm trying to do the Black Plague comeback tour.
No, when you're sick, man, you got to stay, quarantine yourself, and let the world go on.
Logically, I'm with
take
you.
Take off a day.
Logically, I'm with you, but I have to say, in action, I do what Chris does. And I think it's out of guilt. I feel guilty if I can get up and walk around the house and actually function. I should be working. I should be actually, you know, it's bad for me to be skipping out of work.
What are you going to do when you're homesick? You're supposed to just hang out and watch TV and relax?
Oh, I'm sure there's no work to be done. You can't work from home, Chris?
Oh, I can, but I wouldn't want to if I'm sick. If I could work from home, I should be able to work from the office.
Really?
Yeah. But your germs won't travel and get people sick from home.
You can think of how many people you are in contact in a day. With customers and people at work. I bet you people at work wouldn't want you to come in.
Why you gotta make me feel bad? You've successfully made me feel bad right now because I feel like I'm a jerk for
well, it's kind of selfish.
I'm thinking it's selfless. The fact that I'm trying to do my job.
That's the
lot. For the man.
That's exactly how I think about it as well, but have you ever been working in a room or close confines with a person who's sneezing and coughing and vomiting and stuff like that? Don't you feel like you're getting sick? thanks for coming and making me sick and getting my kids sick, by the way, because I'm going to bring your sick home to my family.
Sneezing tissues all over the place, just infesting. Four by six room.
Grown-ups shouldn't get sick like that.
I used to put it, embarrassingly enough, I used to put it on my resume as like one of the little extra little things on the bottom, comma, never took a sick day.
That's your special skill?
That was a special skill that I've never taken a sick day.
You are such a douche.
I know.
You are such a douche.
I know. I really feel bad.
Was never absent.
Because I thought that's what I was doing them a favor. Look, I'm a good worker. I've got a great work ethic. I'm never going to like take off. Even if I'm deadly and I'm going to give you some sort of deadly disease, I'm still going to come in and work.
I'm someone that has definitely not ever gone through a period where I didn't take a sick day. But I think if I was hiring someone and I saw Brian's douchey little never took a sick day thing, I think I would definitely elevate him above the other candidates because I would think at least this guy is not going to – he's going to spread his germs 3-4 times a year, but at least he's not going to be leaving us.
See, I think he's a kiss-ass. I would think he's a kiss-ass piece of garbage.
Exactly.
I wouldn't want anything
You're
to
hired.
I certainly don't believe it. I wouldn't believe it. I was like, if this guy is putting unbelievable special skills, his probably work history is not what it seems either.
By the way, as you were starting to say that about Brian, I actually burst into laughter on microphone because I was reading in the Pal Talk room our buddy Keith Fu, who says he'll come to work with leprosy.
Oh.
He doesn't even care. He's dedicated to his craft.
I worked with him too. I worked with him too.
H1N1 will kill us all because of what you guys do.
That's where you learned. You learned from him. You learned from his leprosy at work.
No, I gave him leprosy.
Oh, great.
Not at work.
If you're sick, stay home. That's the obligation. You should get better. See, you're not thinking of yourself. And I know it's a selfless act, Chris, you think, because you're doing your duty. But you are getting 10 other people sick where they can't do their duty.
But again, I am not – what am I doing at work? I'm not kissing people. I'm not sneezing things. I'm not sneezing on people. I'm not making it like ridiculously messy or stinky.
You're
for people.
You're sneezing into your hand or your arm. You're touching doorknobs. You're spreading germs. Right?
I have antibacterial. I'm a little bit obsessive about my germ thing, though. I have antibacterial stuff on my desk. I'm not Frank from the DJ News Style show every Tuesday night 9 p.m. here on Heroes Talk, obsessive about germs. But I'm pretty anal about stuff like that. Like that, I'm the guy who takes tissues to open up doorknobs and stuff.
Doesn't
already.
Matter. You're still getting your germs everywhere.
If you're sick, you shouldn't even be the one that go to the pharmacist and get your medicine. Somebody else should get it for you because you're getting that poor pharmacist and everybody.
But they
in
got
that
the pills to fix themselves.
That's true. But the other people in that CVS or wherever you go to is getting a gas.
I don't believe the germs travel as far as you think they do.
You're telling me, Chris, you don't see a sickly-looking person in the supermarket that you kind of inch away a little bit and hold your breath?
A little bit. But I wouldn't – if they were in the same aisle that I had to go in, I wouldn't, like, wait a half hour to go down that aisle. I'd go.
I would put my shirt over my mouth and be like,
let's get this. Come on, let's go.
Pointing.
This person looks deadly.
Pointing at them, like using your cart to push them aside as you squeeze by them in the aisle.
Sometimes I see Asian people wearing those nurses' masks, like, around in the street, and I respect those people. Because they either are sick and don't want to get other people sick or don't want to get sick from other people. They understand what's up.
Yeah, because I think it's a new style.
Is it? But you've seen people.
Yeah, because germs, there's no way that they could that those little germs could travel through those
paper,
tiny little paper filters.
Paper.
That'll definitely save them and us. That's a smart move right there.
Well, I'm telling you, man, now I feel myself almost getting sick because I've been with two sick people today. Now it's like kind of like a mind over matter. I'm making myself feel sick.
Allow me to point out, to your point, thanks for coming to the show and sitting in a room with the three of us. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm not sick, but I don't know if it's psychosomatic or...
You're a carrier.
Do you think so?
You have the virus right now. You are a carrier of the virus. You brought it into the show right here. Brian's girlfriend has been exposed to you.
On Outbreak. That little monkey. Oh.
You're patient zero. You're patient zero right now of this disease. It's hideous.
If you guys get sick, it's my fault. I'm sorry. You're right.
I'm not even concerned.
I probably gave it to you anyway.
I have the strongest
immune system.
No, just muscles. I just wanted to talk about this.
You can lift stuff.
Yeah.
Really heavy things.
Like us right into a break. That's how I lift this sometimes. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Chris from Best in Show Radio. If I actually believed in a God, I'd thank him for the fact that I'm not deaf. Because if I was, I wouldn't be able to hear the DJ New Style show and enjoy things like this.
We literally went to the hotel room, You know, obviously it's difficult for me. I didn't sleep in the bed. I slept in the lobby.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I just said, to your usual craziness. And I didn't really realize what I was dismissing with the I don't care, You said you didn't sleep in the bed at your hotel?
No, of course not.
Why wouldn't you? Not only that, you said you slept in the lobby?
I slept in the lobby. I didn't sleep in the bed, I slept in the lobby. One night I slept on the table in the room, because we had like a little kitchenette. I slept on the table.
Well, there's just too much here that I have to pick apart, Frank.
Yes. A lot of people ask me...
Hold on. Yes. Frank, you slept in the lobby.
I slept in the goddamn lobby, yes.
Where in the lobby did you sleep?
On the chairs. They have nice cushioned chairs there. Frank, but let me tell you
Frank,
my theory.
Frank,
yes!
This is the problem with your whole thing. Okay, go ahead with your theory.
Here's my fucking theory, fuckface.
Okay.
People say to me, why would you go into... First of all, you know I'm not going to sleep in the bed because I'm not going to put my legs in underneath the sheets where somebody's legs and feet were. It's disgusting. Okay? They're rolling around, rubbing their feet to the sheets. I'm not going to put my feet in the same sheets. Okay?
The DJ Newstyle Show is live every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Dukes, and when I'm not listening to Best in Show Radio, I'm robbing cheese doodles from Sunoco on Bloomingdale Road.
When I walk into the club, it's like, where's Y.D.? In the store to get a blunt, like, where's Y.D.? We getting searched in the front, like, where's Y.D.? Where's Y.D.? Where's Y.D.?
You're listening to a guy that doesn't know how to use a microphone here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Hear Us Talk, the magical wonderland of talk radio goodness. Man.
Oh, are we back?
Oh, we're back, bro. People want to call the show, they can. 347-767-4247. That's 347-767-4BIS.
Are we on the air?
Word, son. Okay. We're actually not on the air. We're on the interweb.
Are we in the air? Are we in the ether, Brian?
Oh, I love
well,
that
boys,
stuff. Ether.
This
is my favorite.
This is the part of the show where we throw somebody under the bus and we secretly interview them.
It's cool. Secretly? Surprisingly. I don't think it's a secret. They'll know that the questions are being asked, will they?
And our victim, interviewee tonight will be Keith.
Well, you know what? Maybe we should. I was going to say, you could ask Keith and see if he'll even know what's happening.
I appreciate Fred going against my every urge of desperately on the way here trying to get us to come up with questions for Brian. I'm like, yeah, come on, we have time. He's like, no, I really need time. And he's like, oh, and in retrospect, I'm stupid. I don't know why I didn't make the connection.
Keith, getting to know Keith and Keith. So, Keith, what's your oldest memory?
Ooh.
Weird. My fourth birthday.
That's pretty early.
I got the Weebles.
How old were you?
House. I turned four that day.
Oh, okay.
So five.
17.
And what about it? What did you remember about it? What was
the Weebles Haunted House.
The Weebles Haunted, is that what you got?
Oh, I was so excited for that. I remember running back and forth from the living room to the bedroom back and forth because I got the Weebles Haunted House.
Did your parents give it to you? Who gave it to you? Grandparents?
No, my parents. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, here's another question. If you could go back to any age, what age would that be?
Fifteen.
Why 15?
Really? Interesting.
15 is the year that I feel like, even though it's based on one aspect of things, it's music, but I feel like that was the year that I finally, all the little bits and pieces of I finally discovered like what I liked in music, like what not discovered, but I finally realized
it was a creative year.
No,
you
not even like that. I mean,
found
that's,
music. Like,
yeah,
you started
playing? I always listened to a lot of different music, but it was the year that like I found. I don't know. It's not even. It's beyond the music. Maybe because of the music, it was the year I stopped. You know what? I never like really fit in. And I guess in like junior high school, and shockingly, I know. And
I'm not like the other girls.
Or like high school, but I guess when I was 15, late in that year, it's when I realized I didn't care, and I started, instead of having an inferiority complex, I sort of gained a superiority complex. I still had no friends, but at least I didn't feel as bad about it.
Keith, did your parents ever hurt you?
No.
Never? Physically? Emotionally?
No.
Fred, can I jump in for a second?
Sure.
Here? Because, you know, you tapped into something there, which was one of the questions that I wrote down that I had for Keith. Hey, Keith.
15, Chris.
Did you ever, at any point, blame yourself for your parents' divorce?
Believe it or not, no.
Okay. By the way, you'll notice that my questions have a little bit of a different tone to them than Fred's do so far. What's your favorite color?
All right, Keith?
Yeah, sorry.
If you had to switch races, what race would you be? I like
Chris's dead a race.
Is dead a race?
No, what race would I be? Wow. I don't really have a preference.
Can I make a recommendation? Pygmy.
That's a book I should read.
Let's make it this way. What race wouldn't you be?
Ooh, I think that's a harder question to answer. So answer it.
What race wouldn't I be?
Is Chris a race?
Is somebody that has to deal with Chris a race? I would probably be Asian.
You would be Asian.
I would be Asian.
What kind? What flavor of Asian?
I don't know.
There's many.
Can I recommend?
I'd be from South Korea.
Can I recommend? Yeah, Koreans are terrific.
Nice.
They have the.
I'd have much better hair.
Yeah, absolutely. It would exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Keith, where was the weirdest place you ate a meal? Like, I could picture Keith eating a meal, like, in a closet, like, hiding from somebody.
I would say, like, staring out the window or over the sink, but I did that so much because I like to stand and eat.
Over your kitchen sink you would stand and eat? With, like, a plate and fork and everything? Or, like, a sandwich? Like,
well, my hands.
I've definitely done the plate and fork over the kitchen sink. Right next to the kitchen, looking out the window. I think that's normal.
I think in my bed. One day I was so comfortable, I made food and I was so comfortable in my bed that I just brought the food up and just sat and laid in my bed and ate.
Keith, would you rather have hair or be thin?
Hair, because I can control my...
No, he's saying you can only have one or the other.
Oh, I'd rather be thin then.
You'd rather be thin?
Yeah. I'm assuming you mean like the alternative is I'm monstrously fat.
Yes. Something.
Yeah. No, I would rather be thin. Yeah, I dealt with the hair in seventh grade.
Hey, Keith, I was just wondering, what do you do best alone?
It's a family show, Keith.
What do I do best alone?
Like, not like, you know, not you can't say like the radio show, because it's something you do with us. Like, you by yourself, like the solitary Keith. What do you do best?
Silence.
Read.
Apparently.
Read.
Oh.
It's not exciting, but I have a hard time reading around other people. Like, I get easily distracted.
But you excel? Like, that's what you excel at the most alone?
Oh, what?
Reading?
Oh, okay.
Like, what do you
I
do best?
You meant what is most helped by being alone?
No. What do you do best?
What do I do best alone?
Alone.
Oh, anything creative.
So like writing or music
or recording, yeah, things. Yeah,
okay,
like that.
You know that's you prep for. Okay, interesting.
Keith, if you had only one word to describe yourself, what would it be?
Bag.
It's a shame most people probably don't know what that
is. They have to go to the archives over at bestintroradio.com to figure out what that means.
I don't even think they can do that.
I don't want to open a big can of worms here. I really don't. I don't want to go into this whole big thing. I don't want to, like, say, but if I'm going to answer honestly, disappointment.
Oh, that makes me feel really bad. Really? Disappointment? That's one word that sums up you? Disappointment?
Yeah, because I'm regularly disappointed in myself for different things.
Ironically, Keith, my follow-up question.
I had another one, too, ironically.
When was the last time you felt like you won?
I won?
You won. W-O-N. Not O-N-E.
When I was reading, I was won.
I felt like I was won at my fourth birthday. My earliest memory. I was off by 3 years, though.
When I realized that the girl I really, really liked a lot liked me also.
You're welcome.
You did have a lot to do with it.
Keith, do you blame anyone for your unsuccess?
Myself.
Really?
Myself, 100%.
Yeah. Really? Anything in particular?
I always had this feeling like down the road I would start when I was a kid, I used to not do things I would not write because I thought kids don't do that. I would not try to write or be creative because to me it was just adults do that. And then unfortunately that whole attitude stayed with me until all of a sudden I was in my mid-30s and still putting things off.
So wait a minute. In your 20s, when did you realize that art and writing and being creative wasn't adult stuff? Wasn't adult stuff. When did you start?
I knew it when I was in, when I became an adult, late teenage years or early 20s, but, I still didn't pursue it until, very late, and then I still also was very lazy, and it always instilled in me this ability to put it off. I still put things off. I'm convinced that I'm going to write 10 books, 13 plays, and 12 movies at this point, but I'm still just putting it off.
Mm-hmm. Were those numbers specific for a reason, or you just arbitrarily picked them out?
They were arbitrary.
Okay.
And they make him feel comfortable.
Ironically. They can breathe. Ironically, since that was brought up, it seems that Fred and I actually did have a lot more in common when we were writing our questions. Keith?
Yes, that's my name.
What is your unrealized dream that you can't believe you never realized?
Oh, that was my question. Damn it.
That I can't believe I never realized?
You can't believe you never realized. The thing that you really wanted that you thought was going to happen.
Radio career, an on-air radio career. I was sure of it in college. I was
But you're not even talking just like Best in Show or.
No, I mean like a job, professionally
right.
Having a job.
You're talking
on
about
radio.
Years. This, but I'm saying this goes back years.
Oh yeah.
I guess I had a slightly different question. What's your biggest goal that you have not yet achieved? What's
same
your
thing.
Your greatest dream?
It's the same thing.
Have a radio career.
And greatest dream. I'd rather be a screenwriter and you know, have the ability to live where I want and just, not be tied down to having to, some sort of set schedule type of thing. But otherwise, I'll take radio career.
But is that dream still there? You know, what is the dream?
It's still there.
It's not the same thing as saying, there are things that you would do. Oh, yeah, I'd be a famous actor. You know, who wouldn't be? I'm saying, what is the dream that you
That's
have?
A goal. That's something that you would hope
it's
to achieve.
It's still something. I'm very doubtful that it will happen, but it's still something.
And that's at the top of the list. That's your biggest
goal.
That
one would be at the top, yeah. But it's a close second, the radio one.
I got one last one for you. If you were to die right now, who would miss you the most?
I'm curious to know what his answer is.
It's got
to
be somebody.
I'm weighted with...
There's only two that it could possibly be. I'm trying to think which of the two he's going to say.
It would be my girlfriend, but...
Not your mom?
My mom.
More so than your mom?
I don't know. I have
or
to
your
choose
father?
One.
He's,
I couldn't
your
see.
Your father's alive, right?
Not Fred?
Your father, really? You think dads get that?
No.
Yeah, that's nutty.
What, dads have no feelings? What is this?
I think if
it's either most or you can, or it's either he'll miss me the most or he'll throw a party.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting, but maybe if there's a game on that day, I don't even think he'd go to the wake.
Yeah, I don't know. It's close.
To measure that,
I think they'd both
I always will go with the mom. That's going to be more sad than the wife or the girlfriend. I always think the mother is going to be sad. Losing a child, I think, is
see,
more.
That's the thing. I got the different perspective. I would assume my kid before anybody. I think that would. But yeah, if I was going just mom or girl, my mom, not even
yeah,
a question.
I think, yeah. Well, I don't know.
You have a little baby.
I guess Keith answered this question. If you had
for me,
to,
Christine.
If your mom and dad were on a sinking boat, who are you going to save, Keith?
Wait your turn.
If my mom and dad are on a sinking boat,
who are you going to save? One dies, one lives. Dad threw the baseball around with you. Mom, that pushed
threw
you
the
out
baseball
of her,
around you.
Pushed you out of her vagina.
I'm just trying to figure out who makes more money. It's going to help me with my bills more. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
That's mom. You heard
yeah,
it.
Of course. I just don't want to say it.
Why not? We're getting to know you, Keith. We're getting to know you, Keith.
I could see my dad after being like, why'd you save me? Yeah, I gotta go to work tomorrow.
Any man that got saved and the woman wasn't saved, he's got to be pissed off as hell.
I think I could feel like for the rest of my life, it was okay that I let my dad die because I saved my mom, and he was like, you know, taking one for the team, so to speak. Whereas I couldn't be like, I let my mom die. You know, like.
On the notes of fathers, Keith, do you see yourself as a father?
Right this second.
There are two different ways that you could take that question, and I'm curious to know which way you take it. That's part of the question for me. Do you see yourself as a father?
More and more so, yeah. I am starting to.
Okay, I didn't know if you were saying I am a father or I am starting to see myself.
I'm starting to see myself as one. And as for being potentially one, I've felt that way for a couple of years now.
So you think you're going to be a biological father?
Probably.
Or like there might be a kid rolling around there somewhere with your bald head on it.
Oh, already? Yeah. No, I don't think already. No.
Christine, don't worry. We'll be spinning the bottle and doing dares shortly. It's coming soon.
Would you rather have Keith? Would you rather have a boy or a girl? Would you if you had to choose?
I was thinking of that last night.
You were thinking of that last night? Well, let's answer it tonight.
I don't know. This may be the one that's stumped that I can't give an answer of all of them. Like, cause I don't,
a chick's not going to get on the Mets, bro.
No, but
you can dress a boy up like a girl.
But a girl's not going to be gay.
Why? Why not?
We'll take it up the butt anyway.
What do I care about that?
Of course they will.
Oh, that's true. But I mean, that's
if someone's
natural.
Taking it up the butt, I'd rather it be the boy.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's a good point.
It's hard. I have a great relationship about like talking about sports with my father that I would love to now experience from the other end, but I don't know. I'll say boy because I have to give an answer and I don't want to stall the show.
Sexist.
I have like five or six other questions. I'm not going to go through the entire list. I'm going to end my.
You should go through all of them.
I'm going to go through my last. My last question is, Keith, what do your friends not know about you that they should? Something as simple as, like, tell us the meaning of your life in one question. No big deal.
I don't know. I feel like there's nothing you don't know about me.
Really? You're an open book?
I think there's nothing that, like, Christine doesn't know about me. I'm an open book on this show for the most part.
All right,
thinking outside of the most part, I don't think there's anything like you guys don't know. Like I can't think of, I honestly can't think of anything that you guys don't know that you should. That you should is really the thing that
the kicker, if you will.
Yeah, because there's nothing like I feel like anything you should know, you do.
Mm-hmm. Any big event in your life?
Yeah.
Some significant.
Well, it wouldn't have to be an event. It didn't. I mean, like, it's just something about like some
unrealized hobby. It could be a hobby we don't know about.
A dream. It could be anything. Or it could not exist.
That you used to play pinochle like in a league or something.
I'm allergic to pinochle.
Well, I'm gonna have Keith. I'm gonna ask you my last question. It's a little perverse. Have you ever played out any of your sexual fantasies?
Have I ever played them out?
Have you ever have any of your sexual?
Have they been fulfilled?
Yeah.
Have you ever had sex? Is there going to be a follow up question?
Do you like ninnies?
There could be.
It can't be a yes no answer.
No, we're not going into that. No, then the answer's no.
You don't have to say with who it is or anything like that.
Of course not.
No, I'm not going. Sorry,
that's the secret. That's the answer to the first question. The question that Chris just had.
For the record, here's going to be the disturbing part. I know what the answer to that question is.
Oh, do you?
I swear to God, I definitely do.
Does it consist of Keith dressing up as David Bowie?
Does it involve David Bowie?
Oh, come on. So, well, Keith's answer is definitely yes. To that,
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. He's lived out some pretty fantastic sexual fantasies in his life. I'm sure he has.
Well, Keith, thank you, man. Thank you. I think we got to know Keith a little bit.
No, Keith, it has nothing to do with the Mets
yet. Interesting fellow, that Keith.
That was fun.
I
wasn't even high for it.
I enjoyed. That's what you think. So, Brian, you can't wait. Don't worry, your ambush will come soon.
Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to that. Every time those questions get thrown at people, I start thinking what my answers would be. Complete blank. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a horrible, horrible participant.
Fred, hit the music. Getting to know Brian. No. You're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. Thank you to the Heroes Place to Be, Magical Wonderland, Fantasy Cavalcade, all that stuff.
You have Keith's disease.
I do. I can't talk. 347-767-4247 if you want to call. That's 347-767-4BIS. So, Brian, what were you trying to say before I interrupted?
Those were, we just learned some pretty big things about Keith. I mean, those are some major kind of some major parts of your personality that a lot of us might not know about.
I learned stuff about myself.
The big things are important in people's lives. It really is. Sadly, I don't think I have any big things in my life because I found that that as I get older, little things, radically less important things, meaningless is probably the best way to describe it, for some reason play a much larger importance in my life, specifically my happiness. And I want to give you guys an example of one thing that happened to me somewhat recently. It was a little while ago, but I've been stewing on it for a while, and I wanted to see if you guys had any kind of similar experiences. I think I mentioned earlier in the show my love for Five Guys restaurant. It's a chain of like hamburger joints, and as you can see from the looks of me, I go there as often as I can, and I like gorge myself on the
peanut French fries.
Definitely on the peanut French, eating the peanuts beforehand because I just can't wait. It's too much. The burgers are really the showcase, so that's a reason to go there. If you're a burger fan, you got to go and check it out. I know it's just a chain, but it might be one of the better burgers you'll ever have. But the way that they deal with how you purchase things from them.
Can I just ask a quick question as you say that?
Yeah.
Brian is saying that to three vegetarians, right? No one at this table still eats meat?
No.
Nope.
Okay, just wanted to check.
Keith will start eating meat tomorrow. I'm
not saying there's anything wrong with you asking. I was just wondering wait, I don't think anyone at this table will eat beef.
There's some people listening to us. There's like three or four people.
I agree. I'm not contesting. I was more just thinking about the fact that, wow, you're the only carnivore still on the show. That's interesting to me.
The owner of my local Burger King isn't panicking yet.
They're not closing down. Well, you should go try Five Guys. That'll get you. When you fall back off the truck, try Five Guys.
They don't have a fish sandwich at Five Guys?
I don't think so. Like, they do grilled cheese, but it's a waste of energy. Just get
I didn't know they did a grilled cheese. That's all the more reason. I'm going to go to Five Guys tomorrow. I'm going to get a grilled cheese and fries.
Still eat fish? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to sidetrack Brian's story.
All right, I'll talk about burgers.
No, my diet. yes, I do still eat fish, but very rarely. But yes, I do.
You do, Fred? Also?
Yes, I am a pescatarian.
I call it a fakeitarian. I actually made salmon burgers this week. as much as I said very rarely, I had salmon burgers 2 days ago. Terrific. Made them from scratch, ground up the salmon. Oh, my God, so good.
I must
with
be
pistachio nuts.
I must be a pescaphobe. I really just, I'm turned off, scared almost of fish. I really don't go near it. Yeah. I started eating sardines because I can saturate them in my homemade mayonnaise.
The day I was going to eat a fish, I would just eat a hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a waste.
But sorry, go ahead.
The expensive salmon dish that you're going to get, you know, give me the steak instead.
I'm telling you, you won't even eat fish, will you, Keith, at this point?
Yeah, I'm intentionally not eating. I can enjoy it, not as much as other stuff, but
a salmon burger wrapped in phyllo dough, you'll lose your mind. It's so goddamn
I just don't really, I wouldn't eat it for the same reason I wouldn't eat the other stuff. So if I was going to go against, you know, the moral reason that I'm not eating it, I would be eating bacon.
Yes.
All right. Anyway,
so I'm there. I'm gearing up for the burger experience, and I'm waiting online. And I go up and I place my order, which is the burger with the works, no grilled mushrooms or grilled onions, extra pickles because I'm a pickle guy. And you place the order and they give you a number, and you have to like go to a different part of the store and wait in line for your number to be called, and then you can go retrieve your order and do what you want with it. And the number that I was given was number one. Like he gave me the number one, and I felt like, really? I'm number one? Like it was a big deal for me. Like I got number one, and I was stunned, almost into like an awkward kind of silence. And I looked around to the guy behind me, and he looked at me. He's like, "You win." It's like I did something. I achieved some sort of weird kind of math fantasy. I don't know. It's a really awkward thing, and I felt good about it for like too long. For not just like 5 minutes or 10 minutes until I got my burger. Like I sweated that for a couple days.
Did you see the person in front of you?
I saw that there were people in front of me, but I didn't notice like their numbering system.
If their number was 999, I'd be pretty stoked on being one. If their number was 8, I probably wouldn't be. That's why I'm asking.
No, I had to guess that there was some order. This wasn't my first time there, so I had received numbers that were far in excess. So it was like, I'm number one. It hit me. I thought I was first in line or I thought the numbers just went to infinity, and they kind of they like.
Cactus Phone, by the way, is suggesting in the Pal Talk room you shouldn't feel so good. Their number started 0. You just missed it.
It's a binary system. It's just 0 and 1 over. No, but it really made me happy
for a couple of days. That is
well,
outrageous.
It was. This was a little while ago, and since then I've been back to Five Guys, and I went back recently. And while I was standing waiting for people to get their name called, I was maybe a 9 or a 10 or something like that. They take a long time to make their food, and I witnessed the cycle go through. They called a 97, 98, 99, and then a number 1. So I realized that it was just a 100-number circle. Like, it probably happens once every hour, and it left me a little disappointed. But I guess, like, in retrospect, I felt a little silly for being number 1. But even knowing that, I think if I got number 1 again, I'd still be psyched. I don't know what it is about that. It's just a stupid little meaningless things that, for some reason, are way too big of a deal for
it's,
me.
I understand,
it's just logic.
I understand the idea of being stoked on it and being into it at first until you realize how insignificant it is and recognize it, and you're still embracing it.
I know.
Kind of odd.
Well, I felt a little sad about it when I realized it.
I'm only one of the 100.
When there's a number 1 every hour on the hour, basically.
I get like that when I'm food shopping. And I finish food shopping, and I see some lines, you know, accumulating by the cash registers. But then there's that one free cash register that you get, and you get in line, and somehow it's a miracle that you bypass everybody else. Though that's something that
you still think when you left that somehow I just did something wrong,
yes.
Like almost they're going to take
it. Well, right. Too easy. Yeah. And that'll be stoked on maybe for an hour after, maybe, you know, after I put this stuff away. But then I forget about it. It doesn't last for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of like, I can't believe I caught 3 green lights in a row that you would get all excited about it. But,
drive like you hit a string of lights that you don't have to stop for. That's a great feeling. That's a great feeling.
But after you get out of the car,
feeling?
You stop.
I guess, yeah, I guess that's my point is that it's the little things for some reason are more important to me.
The best
than, like,
things
a
in
big
life
achievement.
Are free.
It's not like I've achieved anything. It's just something happened.
What about walking to a bus stop or a train and the bus pulls up?
I'll be honest with you.
Don't know about that.
I'll be honest with you.
Thank God.
today I did not drive to the show. I took the train from Manhattan to Brian's house today. And when I left substantially later than I should have because I got distracted with stuff at work. And by stuff at work, I mean my stupid games that I play on the internet. But I got distracted by them and wound up leaving late. I ran into the train. I'm just like, man, I'm going to wind up getting in like 10 minutes before the show. As soon as I'm going down the stairs, there's the train. Walk right into it. Get off. Go to transfer to the next train. Go down the steps. And the train is pulling up as I'm there. It was like, nice. I'll be honest with you. Forgot about it until we just talked about this now. It wouldn't have stuck with me for days. Didn't even stick with me for an hour.
How about the maneuver when you're on the local train and you pull up to the stop that has the express train right across the platform?
And you go run across.
And you just walk right out, just like stumble right in, and there you are. Now you're on the express.
I love that one, but I'm also kind of a jerk. Because how about when you're on the express train or the local or the whatever the opposite is, and you see the other one pulling up, but yours pulls out, so you don't have
to wait. Takes a little pride.
You don't have to wait that 10 seconds, even though all those people are screwed. Someone's going to lose a job. Somebody's not going to visit a dying relative in time.
I will say, as good as my luck was to get on my second train so easily, that train waited for the local as we were maybe four stops away from Brian's house, and I got really annoyed that they made me wait.
How about when the bus driver doesn't stop for someone that you see, and you're hoping he doesn't see this person running and waving their hands?
See, when it's an individual person like that running and waving, I feel bad. I want him to stop for them.
You're at the store. They ring you up for the things that you're going to buy, and it's $5.32. You open up your wallet, and you have 32 cents in your wallet, and that's all that you have. You just get rid of all your change. I mean, you got the bills, but that's all of the change that's been lingering in your wallet. You give it away. Oh,
I get too stoked.
That's great. Not just getting rid of all my change in one fell swoop. I don't want to buy anything for the rest of the week. It's like
I generally don't accept change at stores. I generally have people keep change the majority of the time. I don't like to carry change because I'm going to wind up losing it anyway. For the most part, I'm not going to say
you
like,
fear change.
Ever. I don't fear it. But if I'm in the car, I love having change in the car to the point that if I have the exact change sitting in the change bin next to me when I go to like a turnpike toll, Jersey Turnpike toll, I pay with cash so I could put more change in my drawer.
Wow.
In my little thing. I love having
That's
change in the car.
That's
good. I love when you order food and you have like a bunch of 20s and then like a 10 and a 5 and it comes to like 11. Well, enough where the 15 is enough to tip because I love that feeling because I hate getting into
change
the whole
back.
Thing of now, like getting change back because they're always going to pull the whole, I don't have change. You
know, I just throw the whole thing.
I just made 14 deliveries, but I don't have any change.
Throw the whole thing at them. Just give them the whole wad of 20s. Hey, enjoy yourself.
See, little things that will get me excited for days will be something like if somebody gives me the wrong cash back, like if I'm at a deli or a supermarket and you get like
what?
An extra 20 and like
you're
just
scumbag.
Can I say something to you? Can I say something to you honestly? When Brian started talking about his change thing, I thought that's what he was talking about because I've definitely done it. I've definitely taken the change and not given it back, of course.
Well, that's a scumbag maneuver.
First of all, I didn't realize until I was out in my car. What am I going to do, be a good citizen and then go back and bring in
yes.
the 20 that the guy just gave
Both
me?
Of your things so far, Fred, have been butting in front of people in line and stealing their money. Those are the little things that you find enjoyment in.
Not people's money. It's the store's money. It's different.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
totally
and the
different.
Cashier who's losing her job or his job.
For $5?
I've never kept too much money, and at least 5 or 6 times in the last 3 or 4 years I could think of, I've actually gone back and said, hey, you know what? You gave me too much money.
I always,
and given it back.
Guys are messed up, because that's like a guy going over the receipt and being like, oh, wait a minute. You didn't charge me for my salsa. Can you put that back on?
Because if somebody realized that, hey, maybe this guy's drawer is going to be $100 short, it might have helped the guy out that day.
You know, sometimes I kind of feel like it's a test. Like the cashier knows they're giving me extra money, and they're trying to see what kind of metal I'm made out of, and they're going to give me extra money to see if I turn it back to them.
Well, now I think you're crazy.
When I worked at Coca-Cola, I would always get my cash checked, my checks cashed at a check cashing place down in St. George in Staten Island. One day went in, girl gave me $100 more than what my
her drawer was short $100
out there with that.
Guess what? I was very poor at the time. I walked right out. Walked right out, $100. And guess what? Never went back to that. Get my cash there again. Never.
I'm going to say $100. I wouldn't. I
couldn't do that.
Wow, that's such not a
I up to $20, I think, is acceptable.
$100 you wouldn't do. You would go bring
I feel bad.
Bucks back. $20.
I wouldn't. I don't think I could take $100 more. $20 I could take.
I thought about that for weeks.
Especially didn't the check have your full name, address, and social security number?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's why I never went back.
She's gonna make it a point to like steal your identity or something.
But I mean, isn't that you're counting money? I mean, that's all you're doing. If you can't count the money right,
it's a little gift.
Is it my fault?
I think it's a little gift that you got from the money fairy, and I think it's great. Enjoy it.
Am I a scumbag for not bringing it back?
Yes, you are.
Well, I don't. Scumbag is a hard word. I think it wasn't 100% moral, but I don't begrudge you for it because I do the same thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done it to that extreme, but I do the same thing all the time.
The transaction that's occurring is that you're buying a good or service for a certain amount of money, and you're giving that a specific amount of money for that good or service. If they screw up and take more money from you, they're a scumbag for taking money from you. Have you ever gotten a person who gives you money back when you've given them too much, when you purchase something?
Yeah. Well, no, because I know what I'm giving, and I know what I should be getting back. I'm a normal human being.
You've never screwed up? You've never given too much money?
Not with money,
like a 10 instead of a 5?
That's something I don't screw up with is money. I just don't know how you can. You're simple. It's math. It's I'm giving this. I should be getting back that.
Right, but you know that you're taking more money than is deserved of you. You know that you're stealing money from someone just because it happened
from
that person's mistake.
I'm not that type of person to count stuff there. I'm a trustworthy person, so I'm not counting my check in front of her.
So you didn't know that you had $100 until you got home?
Until I got into my car and counted it. And I'm not going back. I'm not going back inside waiting online to give this girl $100 back.
I don't think you would have given it back anyway. I think if you got in the car, you wouldn't have given it back.
If I counted right in front of her, I wouldn't have given it back.
That's what if she said, hey, wait, that's my $100.
No, I would have ran out the store.
I never pull away from anything. I always count the change. I don't care if it's insulting to him because I want to make sure I got the right amount.
Really? See, that I'm respectful. I think I'm trustworthy and say, all right, this person does their job. They know how to count. They give me the right change back, and I count it when I get out. I don't make people wait online. So in that aspect, why should I go back? I mean, come on, guys.
Because you're stealing money from
right,
them.
Right. You get $100 extra from a check cashing place. You're really giving it back?
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I'm not taking somebody else's money.
That's the lie of the week.
It's not
right
somebody
now.
Else's. It's a store.
That store is someone else. There's someone who owns that store. There's someone who's getting a profit out of the service that they're offering.
And they have
I'm
insurance.
Money out of their pocket
and they have
for
insurance
that.
To cover this.
Insurance. And again, thinking less of that person, although it is wrong to take it from them too. But honestly, that's a big deal to somebody. Like, that could right there, that's enough where you could just be fired from your job.
I counted it 5 times, 6 times. I was like, wait a minute. And I'm looking at my stub.
Pump that fist a little bit.
I'm looking at my stub, and then I'm counting it, and I'm like, life.
That's not a little thing. That's a big thing. That's not a little meaningless thing that just happened.
$100 to somebody else is nothing. $100 to me at the time was eating for 2 weeks.
Again, it's not moral, but I don't begrudge you for it. Joining us on the hottest of all lines, or the clearest of all lines, here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
Walter Sobchak, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, what's buddy. Up, how are you?
Not too bad. I'm a little surprised that, of all people, Brian would be the guy that would give money back. I'm a little shocked, a little odd.
What's that supposed to mean? Like, why would you think that I would steal money from somebody?
No, not so that you would steal money. It's just you have the strangest sociopathic tendencies, and then when it comes to something as socio-level as, like, money, you're like, oh, I would never do something like that. You know, I don't mind, like, sucking chickens through a roller coaster or a...
That's
you know,
a service that I provide.
You know, burning dead bodies, but I would cross a line when I take an extra nickel from somebody.
Walter, don't get it twisted. Brian is not taking money from anyone, but he'll kill their baby if it gets in their way.
Right. I'll throw their child out in public, but I'd never take a dollar from it. You know. But I gotta agree with Brian on this, though. Like, a couple of years ago, I was cashing a check or something, and, you know, you get a money envelope back, and it feels a little heavy. A woman gave me $1,000.
No.
Extra?
$1,000. And I drove off, and I looked at it. I said, this can't be right. So I went and counted it. It was $1,000. I drove back and gave it back.
Oh, you
wait. What were you supposed to get? What were you supposed to be getting?
A dollar.
let's say I was supposed to get 100, she gave me 1,000.
Wow.
You know, kind of thing. It was always just a little bit of cash. It wasn't, and I, you know, when you're in a long line, you hurry, you just grab it and go. You don't think about it. And I got down the road and I look at it and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I counted it and I was just like, no, this is, and I started thinking about it. This is somebody's job, man. Like, I've been,
could you have,
I'm not an hourly employee anymore.
Could you have gotten away with it though?
Yeah,
they would have never pinned it to you later. Well, it wasn't some sort of, it was actually your morals that stopped you from doing it, not fear of getting caught.
Well,
right?
what I find.
Well, yeah, no, but you can understand, like, banks, and, well, the banks were, even if they catch, they can't, I mean, they don't have any recourse. Even if they think, we're pretty sure it was you. They can't prove anything.
Right. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not saying that you'd go to jail if you took it. I was wondering if that's what your thought process was. If you were thinking that the only reason you didn't want to take it was for moral purposes, not for fear of having you back.
It wasn't. I really, because I felt bad for the woman teller. I was like, I've had a bad day at work. And if she has a bad day and just miscounted or missed something, and she'd lose her job and get in trouble. For making a mistake, I don't know, a math error or something like that. You know, we've all, and I felt like,
Walter,
you know, this isn't mine, and I was like, I don't want her to lose her job over something that she would probably go,
Walter, doesn't she deserve to lose her job because she's going to do it to the next guy that's going to keep the money? Don't you think if your job is to count and you can't count?
Wait, before you answer that, Walter, you are a business owner, correct?
Well, no, not a business owner, but I'm in management of a large business.
Okay. If you knew that someone that worked for you was giving away $1,000 by accident, would you want that person working for you?
No, it's one of those things that, like, you know, if all things being equal, I don't know if she lost her job because of it, but I didn't want it, you know, it was because she made an error. That's their, it's another thing for it to be like, they're accusing her of theft. And it was just like, it was a simple mistake. I could see, they even showed me where she would have made the mistake. And I was just, you know, I just don't want to be the cause of, you know, I don't want to be involved in anything like that. And I was just, you know, maybe if it saved the job and, you know,
right on,
she was able to work through it. I'm just trying to be an honest person.
I'm keeping that $1,000. And I'm retiring.
See, the last thing in his sentence is really what's key, because the whole part of the conversation was he was considering that other person, the employee, and they would lose their job and so forth, which suggests that for a moment, even if it was a brief moment, you actually did consider to continue, to drive on and make like it never happened and pocket that $1,000 and do something good to the world or yourself with it. And really the crux of it is that you're not a thief. The reason why you didn't just continue to go on with your life is because that would be stealing $1,000 that isn't yours. It's not the person's job.
Well, you know,
you're a thief.
Isn't there something to be said for like a crime or sin that no one else knows that you did, but you do? You know, we've all done things that like, you've done despicable things that no one else in the world knows, but you do.
I
don't want to have any reason to not look in the mirror and just like, for a split second, I was a piece of crap, you know. And today, that day, I just like, no, I'm gonna be good today, you know.
The easiest person to lie to, Walter, is yourself. I'm telling you, man.
It's not about being good; it's about not being bad. You would be a thief if you.
You called me a thief.
Yes, you stole that person's. You stole
$100. There's no human element that comes into play, even when I think about that.
What was the store?
It was just a
corporate chain,
a bum mom pop cash checking place. You know,
they're obviously not checking their cash.
Well, check cash place. It was just
It wasn't like a Western Union.
No.
It was a mom and pop place.
Yeah, check.
So that mom and pop is not eating tonight.
Oh man,
who cares? It could have been a large conglomeration. You stole someone else's money. You took money that wasn't yours.
I don't have a problem with the morality of it. I steal.
Somebody made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake. I didn't steal that money.
Guess what? I steal. I download things illegally off the internet.
How would you feel? Well, Fred, how would you feel though? If like, you know, you were, you say, I'd never make that mistake, but what if you did? And like, we were out at Sweet and Vicious or whatever, and I ended up taking $100 from you. You would think that I was a thief and I was a son of a bitch and like, But you would think that, and you know, it's funny how you find an easy way to justify it in your mind. Well, I'm taking them; they're not taking mine.
I am so aware of money. There's no way, first of all, that I have $100 on me. That's it right there. And I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know if I would think like that because honestly, that person didn't even know I had that $100. She doesn't even know where that $100
doesn't mean you didn't take it. Just because she doesn't know, just because that tree fell in that forest and no one was there to witness it, doesn't mean the tree didn't fall.
All right, Brian, you're sitting at a table at dinner. Breadsticks come or something that you didn't order. Are you eating it? Or are you telling the waiter that I didn't order this? Why is this?
Wait,
here?
Are the breadsticks supposed to be gratis, or is it a mistake?
You get garlic bread, or you get some appetizer.
Something that you're paying.
Yes,
for.
I would definitely tell the person I didn't order this. This isn't.
Brian,
and that's a little different because you could be caught. They'd be like, "Wait, did you order that?" And then you got
maybe Brian should be my kid. Maybe I should be more proud to have Brian as a kid. I don't know.
Keith is definitely taking the money. I know that.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not, because I've been on the other end of that.
You're not taking the money?
I've been, and I know that it's not just like a big deal, like, oh, well, this is a big corporation. It's rough, and it happened to me on a Saturday afternoon, and I left work.
And think about that story, huh?
It was a rough... It was a rough...
If you take that kind of... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you take Brian's philosophy, it's like, all right, well, I found that someone gave me a dollar, it's not mine. You know, I want to be honest, but yet if someone dropped off a kid, he'd take that same philosophy. Like, hey, this isn't my kid. You know, I got to get rid of this thing.
Allow me to point out, Brian just stole one of Fred's cigarettes while his head was turned. He literally stole a cigarette here.
Thank you.
Thief.
But I know for the next 48 hours after that has happened to me in the past, it's rough. And I know it's going to be rough to that person, and it probably was rough to that person in the check cashing place. So, yeah.
But these are different issues then. You're doing it on the idea of that you're thinking about the person that's going to get screwed out of it, not because morally you don't think it's the proper
because
thing to do.
Because it's thieving. Wait. It's stealing.
The question though is like, Fred, you know, that $100, how many years ago is it? Do you still think about it from time to time? Every now and then you'll think about it.
And
that
pumps his fist.
Taking that $100.
Yeah,
of course you do. I mean, you got to think about it.
I think about how lucky
I
was to get
it.
Walter, I think about how lucky I was to get it. I don't think about, oh, my God, that woman was fired. The woman's job is to count money. Now, sometimes people, I guess, can't count. And why should I be blamed as a thief for not doing it? Guess what? If she was $100 short, I would have definitely been inside saying, hey, here's my stub. I'm $100 short. Definitely would have done that. But,
and right, you would have been, because that company would have been stealing your money from you.
What if, let me ask you this, what if they're doing an audit and they realize toilet paper and a child's lunch have been stolen and the person responsible for it wasn't doing their job? I don't know.
Well, better, kids' lunches, better yet. They start counting kids' lunches.
Keith, come on.
They start counting kids' lunches and then they start finding out that there's a few missing. What happened?
Keith got free HBO for about 5 years. Let's get real.
But that was a benefit of his job if he got it.
Yeah,
that's a perk.
Talking about theft, and all of a sudden everybody's just start talking about things that they know each other did. Oh yeah, well you're a scumbag because you like you know.
But that's everyone's. Yeah, everyone's trying to make themselves feel better about their own ill practices because they do it themselves. I'll tell you straight up, I have no problem with stealing from corporations. I have no problem with it. I steal music all the time. I steal movies all the time. I steal books all the time. If someone at the Duane Reade or the CVS or big store or the Stop and Shop or whatever gives me too much change at the register, I take it as a victory. Granted, up to a small amount of money. I think $20 is my threshold. If they gave me $100, I'd probably would take that.
I can testify to Chris's saying he doesn't probably. If you look on his Facebook page, the picture he put up, obviously he was stealing time from the corporation when he was passed out on the floor in a chair or whatever. He has absolutely no problem with that.
Walter, when you got this $1,000 that you brought back, did you have children at the time?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that $1,000 maybe could have been spent for something good and positive that you maybe?
I'm sure. You could think of I could think of 1,000 things I'd use with $1,000. Absolutely, I could pay for a lot of things with that. But like you know, I look at my kid. I think I'm teaching them to be honest, and I'm teaching them to be good people, and I'm trying to be a good person. And so I don't. I don't want to talk the talk. I'm trying to walk it too. And if, you know, hey son, this is how you do it.
I want you to understand.
Yeah, everyone around you might be stealing, but that doesn't mean you have to.
Walter, I just want you to know, you're making me feel really crappy that I've taught my daughter how to use the homebrew channel on the Wii so she can play the stolen games. It's making me feel really bad now.
I'll tell you this too, and you know who Walter probably also thought of, the kids of the woman who gave him the $1,000 who would not be eating anymore because their mother lost their job.
Okay,
that's all fine and dandy, but that's missing the point.
It's not that. Well, you know what it is. If I thought that everything was going to be fine and it was going to go unnoticed, I would probably be lean a lot more towards taking.
Then to Brian's point, you are comfortable with stealing. You are not comfortable with the retribution of other people for letting that robbery take place. Seems to be more the case. The question is really where are your morals at as far as taking something that doesn't belong to you, not how what that taking does affects the other people around you. It's your morality that we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle, because if I really think that if somebody, and of course there's no way to know this, but I think if somebody told me, oh yeah, you know what happened? They just gave you that $100, but you know they think that they didn't catch the error, and they're never going to catch the error, and that person's going to be fine. I would have probably a lot more of an issue trying to bring myself to give it back.
I don't think you would have any issue.
Probably not.
I think you would take it, and I think you would spend that money immediately.
I would feel weird, though. I would feel like I stole it.
I would roll that money up and blow a line of coke with it instantly after I paid for it.
And you know why people...
Me too, but I give it back.
You know why most people take it? And Walter, you probably didn't get a reward. People aren't rewarded for giving money back. They just say, hey, thank you. And they send you on their way.
Shouldn't be. You shouldn't be rewarded for giving for
doing
something.
$1,000. If somebody put $1,000 extra in your envelope,
in your bag of Five Guys fries, there was $1,000 in there.
You don't think they should give you a 50 and say, hey, thanks?
Absolutely not. No, really? No, I should not be rewarded for doing what everyone should ethically and morally be expected to be done. I expect you to do it. If someone finds money in a wallet,
the more I listen to Brian, I'm shocked. He has no problem like genocide. Let's start murdering people in the herd. He wouldn't want somebody to lose a $5 bill if it fell out of their pocket.
I'm trying to save humanity, like, Walter. It's the
you're
right
a good
thing.
Man, apparently,
it's the right thing to do. Genocide is the right thing to do, maybe. And I'm not. I have a problem with it. I'm still coming to terms with it, but.
I'll tell you when it is annoying, though. I walked out of Radio Shack, realized the guy gave me $5 too much, went back. I was 5 minutes away already. I went back, and I gave it to him, back to him, and I said to him, oh, you gave me the wrong amount of change. You gave me too much. And he's like, no, I didn't. And I was about to say,
did you fight him?
Okay. You know what I mean? Then I'm keeping it. If you're going to have an attitude with me, then I'm keeping it. And I guess this makes me a bad person. His manager was kind of looking, and I was just like, yeah, no, you gave me too much money, like all loud, and handed it back.
That's fine.
And he's like, oh, okay.
But you did it spitefully. Why not just keep it if you're going to do it spitefully?
I didn't go to the, I intentionally went to him because I didn't want him to get in trouble. I didn't want my good deed to get him fired, you know what I mean? Because it was $5.
But ultimately, you did in front of the manager. You definitely got him in trouble.
Because he was a jerk. No, I didn't.
By the way, I don't know if you know that cashier at Radio Shack, President Barack Obama. That was actually who it was that he gave that money back to. So see how this all works out?
Wow. He's given money. He's already given money at that early age. Wow. Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, wait, he was black?
Well, hey, guys, thanks a lot for giving us fodder for Hate Us Talk on Monday nights. That's my little cheap plug. I got kids I got to put to bed. So thank you all very much for listening to or doing your show. And it's been a good one so far. And thanks a lot.
They could have been in a more comfortable bed if you kept that $1,000.
Oh, that's really true. Excellent. Look at that. By the way, Walter is getting so good at being the broadcaster and getting his own plugs in, so I didn't even have to worry about it afterwards. Although I'll do it anyway. Hate Us Talk is fantastic stuff. You go to the Radio Bronze Fans, RadioBronzeFans.com, the forum. And click on the Hate Us Talk link. You can go to the blog there and download. It's like a review of everything that happens here on Hate Us Talk, on Hero Talk, excuse me. Good stuff, him and our buddy Jimmy J.J. Walker.
When Walter referenced I have to put my kids. I thought he was going to say I have to. It's a cheap plug. I have to put my kids through school or something. I started getting like, I was like, wait, how is he getting paid for this? What did I miss out on?
Well, I take offense to be called a thief. I want to let that be known.
You're a little thiefy. By the way, Walter just called us on the hottest of all lines. I just wanted to. I didn't get a chance to play this earlier. I have a commercial for the hottest of all lines. I just wanted to play for you guys. Enjoy it. It's by our buddy DJ Newstyle.
Best in show, let them start your day. You should listen live to Fantasy Cavalcade. Hear them talk, but why don't you chime in so toll free? It's the hottest of all.
347-677-4247.
The hottest of
347-677-4247.
The hottest of
347-677-4247. 347-677-4247. 347-677-4247.
I just thought I thought you guys would enjoy that.
New Styles vibrato. His falsetto was very.
I thought it was really nice that he went through the trouble to record a new song to advertise our new commercial, our new phone number that we have here on the show. I thought it was.
What's that new phone number again, Chris?
347. Want to play the song again? 347-767-4247.
Just wanted to see if you hadn't memorized.
347-767-4BIS. Just so you know, to me, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be so funny. I'm going to take this, this robot voice and put it over it. Like 30 seconds, it was like, wow, this is the dumbest idea ever, and it's going to take so long to do this crap. But I committed myself to do it, so I went through with it. For the record, I really got to get him to get us a real new song because I can't remember that number.
I was really going to ask you to say it one more time.
347-767-4247.
The end I don't have a problem with because it's 4BIS.
That's right.
It's for us.
It's 767-4BIS. What? I don't understand what's happening. Are we moving on or are we doing a break? I wanted to ask because I have to pee. That's the
reason. No, I said break. I thought you caught it. Sorry.
No, I didn't. Awesome. So let's do a break very quickly and nicely.
Come on,
and
Bri.
Undercover here on Best in Show. Heroes Talk.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Heroes Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to heroestalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Heroes Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out heroestalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ Newstyle Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at heroestalk.com and the Heroes Talk Radio Room in Powtalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at radiobronzefans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at heroestalk.spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Heroes Talk Radio Network. The thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
It's Best in Show Radio. Boy, this summer's getting hotter and hotter every week. It's Best in Show Radio on HeroesTalk.com, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be. Listen up, internet chat fans. How can you connect to thousands instantly, view as many live chat videos as you like, send and receive unlimited private messages, control who sees you and who doesn't, be surrounded by adults, that's adults, from around the world, in communities that have grown for over 10 years, and basically chat the way you want to chat?
I could move to a village someplace that specializes in those things.
What else could you do?
I don't even think that even exists. I don't think there's anything on the planet that exists that you could
do. You know what? You're wrong.
What is it?
ICU2. It's the ICU2 video chat program, that's how. With its friendly user interface, it's possible to install, register, and be using the video phone features in minutes. Talk to family and friends, look for people with similar interests, or find new friends. ICU2 video chat has a PAL list that's the envy of everyone. It has the ability to hide from a broadcast to whoever you want, as well as use five different chat programs at once.
A palace?
A palace.
Wow.
ICU2 is a palace. It's an official palace. It has the smoothest video you'll ever see and CD quality audio. And if going one-on-one isn't your thing, the amazing quick message system allows you to send messages with pictures, video, audio, and a video on demand feature. ICU2 has a video on demand feature that you control. And in 28 days...
What could you see on that video?
You could see adults. Other people from around the world.
Oh, other people's videos.
I do a little wink when I say adults, because who knows? Who knows? You know, adults in the privacy of their own video chat software. Who knows what's going to happen?
So you think I could see something good?
I think you can. Nice. I think you might be able to.
Where do I go? Sign me up. Where do I go?
You go to ICU2.com, and in 28 days, do you know what happens in 28 days?
I never saw that thing.
Not a zombie attack.
Okay.
Not Sandra Bullock getting clean. It's the ICU2 Vegas party. The ICU2 Vegas party is in 28 days. You don't know what I'm talking about? That's because you need to get to ICU2.com quickly. Download the free trial and join the fastest growing internet community, because with ICU2, my friend, the world is within reach.
What happens in Vegas stays on ICU2.com.
What happens in Vegas can be seen by everyone else around the world.
On the video feature, on demand.
ICU2.com.
Come on.
Why'd it get loud? Crazy. I felt like I was in a nice dance club there for a little bit. It was exciting. I guess I'm still there. Dance club.
So 4 weeks to Vegas, guys.
Nice.
Are they sending us? As I see
thank God. Yeah. You know what? We really should do that. Why don't we do the Heroes Talk Vegas convention at ICU2's something capital?
Expense.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's why.
I didn't know they had that much money to be doing a Vegas party. Very shocked.
Somebody that advertises on Hero Stock.
Yeah.
Amazing. Shocking, right? Awesome. Speaking of of amazing advertisers, what? What? You don't like downplaying something seconds after doing a great commercial for it?
I woke up today. I was like, I have to tighten up this advertisement. I have to really make, like, really show what a good company is.
In all seriousness, ICU2 is a terrific company. Fred is an immoral thief who's trying to steal from our advertisers at this point and steal money out of their coffers as well.
Fred, which video chat services do you belong to?
What?
Thank you.
Come on. So speaking of advertising, about a week ago, was it last week? It was either last week's show or 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the idea of loudy, of the type of person who walks around screaming and lets you know everything about their life as they're going through the daily day. Even if though you're not involved with them, they might be just screaming it out around you, and you're privy to their intimate bits.
When I was on the bus with saying, "I found a dead," like that whole thing.
Right, that the guy, the woman who was at the who was at the bank that was screaming about how she was in Florida. I was down there, but then I had to come back up here. Like that whole thing of just letting everybody in the world know your entire life.
What I like to call a you, Chris.
Right, the me. But see, with me, it's because I'm loud and I don't realize it. Wait, I guess that means it is me. Damn it. Well, my new problem now, more than a person who is loud, is the advertiser. And a loud person is essentially an advertiser, but they're an advertiser in one specific way. I am now noticing a trend of people that advertise...
Extra, read all about it!
...without actually using any sort of words. So it's loudy with the volume off. It's a muted loudy is what I'm talking
about. A deaf loudy?
Not specifically a deaf. Someone that does it without the sound.
They sign?
Understand. Yes, that's exactly. Understand what I'm trying to say here. Somebody that has to let everybody in the world know about their thing, whatever that thing is, without necessarily saying a word to do it.
So say the person has an itchy ass. They'll itch their ass, but over-exaggerate their itchy ass.
Exactly. Or someone whose back hurts that you see them.
Oh, yeah.
Or like when you're in the middle of a conversation on an internet radio show and you look across the table from you and the guy's rolling his eyes up in back of his head and taking a silent sigh.
Not exactly, because that's just a personal message for you whenever you're talking that I'm doing that. That's a different thing. No, I'm saying like
to strangers
on the street. Someone that intentionally came into work wearing sunglasses to shield the fact that they were crying underneath. Because you would then obviously have to ask, why are you wearing sunglasses?
Exactly.
So then they could tell you the story about their dog that died. Luckily, she doesn't usually listen to our show, so I don't feel bad sharing the story on the air. But the idea of someone that has to advertise their entire life like that is just like, come on, dude. You can't.
But Joe, don't you think everybody does it to a certain extent? If you have a bad day, I think we can all tell when you come into this room that Chris has had a bad couple of hours before, or a bad day, or a bad week, by the facial expression.
It's not necessarily a silent thing with Chris. You kind of know.
Yeah, I am loudy.
Sure.
You kind of know he's a bad. He's having a bad day because, he'll tell you precisely what's wrong with him before you've had a chance to figure it out.
Even ask. But the person that does like the sunglass thing that you said and is waiting to be asked why they're wearing the sunglasses.
And understand something, dude. I know you loved your dog, and I think it's terrible that your dog is gone. I'm not saying it like that it's bad that someone cares about their dog or they're sad about it. It's the idea of being the person that, like, you're overtly letting everyone know about your sadness so they can ask you about it. Come on.
Should they come in with cry eyes? And then
they should realize it's a dog. It's not crying. It's not a big deal. Oh, wait, no, that's the opposite of what I just said. No, but no, okay, I guess, but like it's – there's something about it that they're trying to be overt and advertise their sadness.
Would the person that comes to work in their gym clothes and then goes in the bathroom and changes be like considered that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Or a person who's leaving the office to go to the gym and has to go into the bathroom and change it. Yeah, I'm just going to go over to the gym, run, take care of myself, you know. Got to pump a little iron. That would be the same thing. An advertiser.
How about a person wearing a neck brace? But they really do have a neck problem. They really do have a neck problem, but do they really need that neck brace?
I think that might be just someone that's actually adhering to a doctor's orders. I think that's
okay. All right. I was just wondering.
Maybe the person who, like, kind of twisted their ankle or something and always have to keep it elevated or somehow treat their – the doctor says, no, everything's fine, go home, but they've taken it upon themselves to sling up their arm or something because they got punched.
I got news for you. The guy who, when everyone says, dude, we're going to go over to this place after work today, you interested? Nah, man, I stopped drinking. I don't drink anymore, so no, I'm not going to come to the bar with you.
So don't say that in the future, Chris.
And I'm saying it, admitting 100% that I definitely said, I'm not really a bar guy anymore. When the fact of the matter is, I could just say, no. But you know what? I don't. I actually am a douchebag about it. I try to make people feel bad about the fact that they're having fun and I'm not. I don't know.
I'm kind of that guy when I'm with my family, when I'm tasked to go do things family style, like go for some sort of Christmas or Thanksgiving gathering. I'll sulk in a corner and just be really quiet, and I won't have a drink, you know, because I'm not going to enjoy myself or
whatever.
You're
going to be spiteful about them.
Yeah, I really am. I'm really the silent, obnoxious guy.
Years ago, I worked with this girl who we'd be like, oh, we're ordering. Do you want anything? And instead of just saying, like, there was plenty of times when I didn't have money and I would just say, no, I don't think so. You know, and that's it. No, I don't have any money. so now somehow I'm supposed to
Are you? If you're buying, I'm flying.
Yeah, not even if it's either I'm buying or somehow I'm now supposed to have some sort of guilt because I'm ordering food and you can't.
Oh, I don't think it's a guilt. I think she was trying to get a free meal.
Well, this girl also once said to me, Keith, you can't loan me $50. That was her initiating the conversation.
I guess guilt might be part of it then. I'm confused. But I've definitely been asked at work, hey, we're going to go over here for lunch. You want to get something? I don't know. Are you buying? I've definitely asked that before.
How about the person who changes the way that they dress, perhaps dressing up in all black when their favorite celebrity has passed away recently?
Oh, no. Who's done that?
You've known
someone that's done that? I mean, don't get me wrong. In the eighth grade,
Brian's
I did
doing it now.
I might have done that a couple
times.
Who
dies every day of your life, Brian?
Yeah, I might have put on a black bandana on my arm when Cliff Burton died.
I'm talking about.
I was 13. I was 13.
And you were a douche back then. That's unbelievable.
I was 13 friggin' teen, all right? I was a kid.
My bro, who's 12, would never put, a black band on for like Brittany Murphy.
Yeah,
or something.
Well, understand, Brittany Murphy wasn't the bass player of Metallica for a 13-year-old
kid. Yeah, she was an actress in Clueless, something even better.
Rolling with my homies, it is true. Seriously, Cliff Burton, rest in peace, Cliff and Mall.
Oh, that's disgusting. Can't believe you did that.
I'm going to call it out right now. My wife is a silent loudie. She'll come home like from a day of work, and her back might be hurting, and I'll hear on the couch.
Wait. I just want to point something out here. Silent loudie is someone that in public lets people know what's going on with them. Not a woman letting her husband know that she's in pain. It's a little different.
She won't tell me. She'll just be like, because she thinks if she asks for a massage that I won't give it to her, so she has to, like, I don't know what it is, like, kind of, like, act it out, like, that she's like, oh, you know, like, and I'm just like, do you want, she makes me ask her if I want a massage.
Can I massage you, please?
Because there's a massage place right down in the corner that you could go to.
Yeah, but girlfriends and wives are different, I mean, because they're always going to, like, sigh loudly because something annoys them, you know, like, and it's not like,
Brian says,
like their husband or wife.
Brian says the massage thing. She has a gift certificate to go get a professional massage. And as I'm massaging, I was like, you know, one of these days you should go get a professional massage done as I'm massaging.
What you should do is like, hey, by the way, I'll take that coupon for the free massage to get as payment for this. Thank you very much.
Wait, so you're saying it while you're doing it. So not only are you doing the work, you're taking away any credit you're going to get for it. You're still going to initiate the fight.
Well, I mean, I was massaging her. I was doing her a favor, and she was, you know, enjoying it. I was like, you know, if your back is really hurting for the rest of the week, you should go get that professional massage. Like, I was just looking out for her.
I think that's a nice thing. I think that's a nice gesture. And I think it's fine that he took $100 out of her pocket when he did it. Yeah.
I actually stole it. As I was massaging my wife, I took $100 from her purse. I mean, as, you know, payment, of course. But she is a silent
compensation.
Loudie. Exactly.
You're due.
I mean, but your girls don't do that as well. Like,
I'm kind of the girl, actually, when that happens.
My belly is growling. I'm so empty. I need something. I haven't eaten since 6, or, you know.
Wow, the kitchen's right over there. Look at that. Luckily, it's stocked with food. Help yourself. Do me a favor. Grab me something on the way back, too.
My girlfriend, quote, made us go on a vacation some years ago. I talked about it at length, I think, the Puerto Rico lost experience. And the whole time I was kind of going there, I had to fight the urge to not be sulking in the corner. I'm not going to enjoy this vacation because I don't want to be here spending money doing it. I actually had to go out of my way to not be a jerk. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. It was hard.
Did you huff and puff? I'm sure.
I mean, it wasn't just huff and puffing getting to there. There was a major argument, and it was angry trying to make that happen. And I really had to fight the urge to seal that argument by not enjoying it when I was there and making her not enjoy it.
I'll tell you, loudies in public are embarrassing, though. Like, real loud people that, like, air their dirty laundry to someone either on a cell phone or right next to them where 15 other people could just hear them blatantly. I'm embarrassed for the people. Like, I want to get off the bike. It's cringeworthy.
Walking from the ferry yesterday to my train, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? As I was walking...
Can I touch your boob again?
No, Chris. You can't. Oh.
Did you want to say the comment I made on air?
So as I'm walking to the ferry, there were these two guys that were walking about 10 feet in front of me, screaming about the fact that some dude hooked up with a girl that he met on the ferry the day before as we were leaving the ferry. I was like, yeah, and he was like screaming, advertising all the positions that they did, loudy. Just I had to let everybody, yo, I got laid by a chick. The same place we're at now, who's looking to get some, is basically what he was doing.
Well,
I hate him.
That whole thing to me is crazy. The dude that, like, not only has to, like, flirt with the girl or say stuff to her, but, like, that sees the girl and has to let everyone know what they think, like, just tilts his head and, damn, you know, like, that guy. Ugh. Or, like, the one that has to let everyone around him know, like, did you see that? I'm a heterosexual.
Wait.
Yeah. You get an erection, too? Want to compare?
But you do know he saw that. Did you see it?
Yeah, Chris is totally that guy.
I'm 100% that guy.
Totally that guy. Have you ever been in a car ride with Chris more than 10 minutes? How many women has he shouted at outside of his window while on the street, drive by? He's drive by harassing these women.
Hey, sweet nugs, what's up?
Well, we've had a whole conversation on here.
Chris is a sniffer.
He believes he believes he's complimenting them and brightening their day by doing that.
I am complimenting them.
Hey, sweet ass. How's it going?
I've never said sweet ass. I've never said sweet nose. I've definitely said what's up hot. I've definitely said the damn before.
This,
you know what? It's happened.
I've damn. Bad for Chris's woman.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
Oh,
what
he doesn't say that to her. To his wife. He wouldn't say that to his wife.
By saying what's up, sweethearty?
I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I think it's fine. I think it's fine to let a young lady know that I appreciate what's happening.
I had a situation.
I think it's terrific.
I was once at work, and I don't know if I've told the story, but there was a bunch of guys standing around, and this girl walks by, and they're all quietly saying, like, and in order to tell the story right, how you guys feel on the P word? Can I yell that one out?
Patricide?
Yes. No, but there's a bunch of guys standing around, and this girl walks by, and they're all kind of whispering, and one dude, I guess, wanted to make it known that he was really, like, you know, he was really into it. And I guess he thought maybe this was his way of flirting or letting this girl hear. So as she walks by, he's like, I don't care, man. I'll eat that pussy.
Oh.
What? And, like, and everyone's just kind of like.
He didn't care, though.
And everyone's just kind of, like, looking around, and it's like, wow. And all these guys are just like, and these guys are all social misfits, and they're all just kind of like all scared. And, like, rightfully so, they're horrified at this, and it's just kind of like. But and the scarier thing is, I think he thought that that was somehow going to open up a dialogue with this girl. Like, she was going to be like, oh, really?
Anyone who's listening to this right now who doesn't live in New York City thinks you're lying. They think you're telling some sort of story of some cliche that you've seen on a movie. I've never seen that happen more often anywhere else in the world than in New York City. Anywhere in the five boroughs, there's
just people getting verbally raped.
Just constantly. Basically. Yeah, and it is, and it's not, they're not doing it to attack. I think there's a certain aspect of that are doing it to prove to everyone else that they're not gay or something like that. There's definitely a machismo thing, but there's a part of them that actually think, like, this might work.
It's
like,
work.
They might
it's
be able to convert this one day into something.
I think this dude thought, this is my chance. You know what? I'm not gonna, who knows his history of, like, writing love letters to girls and getting rejected. He probably thought, like, I'm gonna be the caveman banging her over the head now.
You think it's like a numbers game? Like, but you do it to 100 people, one of them's gonna respond?
One of them might be a hooker.
You don't think that it's just a matter of him expressing his appreciation? Or his
even if it's in that creepy way,
so he
though.
Gave her a good day. She went home and she's like, damn, he'd eat my pussy.
Actually, Keith, who just said in the palto, go, oh, yes, that sounds delightful. Please eat my pussy, you enchanting man.
You know, to a certain extent, that's kind of how I feel about couples who are, like, public displays of affection of any kind. Like, they're rubbing it in your face or the rest of the world's face.
I love that. When they rub it at the pussy, are we talking about again?
Just holding hands or, like, cuddling each other in a public place. And
why are you looking at them doing it? Just, like, turn the other way.
I mean, yeah, you try your best.
And gently stroking.
It's just like, yeah, they're kind of being silently loud. They're advertising the fact that they're together. And look, every once in a while, in private, we do intimate things, and it's mine. It's just, ugh.
I never really got mad or upset about people doing it, but when it's happening to me, it's a little weird. Like,
oh, yeah.
If I was ever with a girlfriend who tried to get a little physical in public, you know, while kissy and touchy, it sometimes freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't want other people seeing my private stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, that's private and sacred.
Sacred. For me, it's being the loud, it's being the silent advertiser.
I've been jerked off at a bar.
Oh, come
sitting
on.
At a bar, literally. I didn't care. Why would you care? What's wrong with that?
Well, of course you yell out, what's up, hot? That's it.
I mean, that's
it. Yeah. See, it works. It works right there. It works.
So you yelled out, I'll let her jerk me off.
She was a good lady, though. She was a good girl.
You asked the girl if she wants to eat your pussy?
Wait, it was a girl?
Oh, no. No, I didn't ask nothing. It was just... It just
oh, you made her do it.
Things happen. It was the gun. I think the gun suggested to her that she should be.
I think that's less offensive than the public display of affection on the bus stop, though, somehow.
What is?
Making out? If you walk into a bar...
Off at the bar.
If you walked into a bar and a girl is standing there... I mean, and it was blatant. Like, it wasn't like it was, like, undercover.
Completion? It was to completion,
wait a second.
Too?
Did you just call that making out?
No. I'm not calling that making out.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying...
That's first base.
This actually happened at a bar for me, and it was blatant. It was out right there. Do you think that I don't try to understand how that could be less offensive than seeing someone making out. I don't get it. But the guy who I'm asking just ran out of the room because he had to go make out with somebody.
You know what? I think it's a little less offensive because you're trying to be sneaky about it. Like, I'm sure your face wasn't like, I'm being
yeah. Oh, dude. No, dude. I'm telling you, right in the front of the bar, you could not have walked in the bar and not seen my wang.
That seems to me like more of a freak show circus type thing. Yeah. Instead of like two people tonguing each other,
there was nothing romantic about it. And it wasn't a completion. It was just like, wow, I can't believe that this is actually really happening right now. By the way, our buddy Pristine saying in the Peltok room that he's gotten a hand job under a table at a bar with the girl's boyfriend sitting at the same table.
Wow, that is ballsy.
Literally,
but he feels bad about taking $100 from someone. Come on.
Well, it was probably done without the boyfriend knowing.
Which is worse than taking $100 out of the guy's wallet, right?
I mean, I think what Keith is referring to is the couple that's walking down hand in hand, swinging their arms or doing like a kickstep around each other.
I guess I feel like in a bar, it's more. I don't know. I feel like if you walk in a bar, you shouldn't necessarily be surprised. You could be offended, but you shouldn't necessarily. But like, if you're just walking down the street and you just see people like, it's annoying.
I think they're adorable. Yeah. You know what, though? When I see someone in a car and they have to put their hand onto the other person that they're sitting next to, I get really mad as hell. But I do it. I definitely do it myself. And my wife gets so annoyed. Like, stop. Get the hell off me.
I can't drive like that. I need two hands on the wheel. I can't be holding a hand.
10-2.
Well, I'm bad about it. Like, on the couch alone watching TV. So
I'm just feeling yourself up.
Yeah. I don't like private displays of affection.
Well, I got to tell you, honestly.
People listen to Best in Show and they like it, or they're somehow haven't figured out how to change their computer.
they're frozen. Why are they frozen?
I don't understand. It's really cold. Even though the summer is hot and you could buy a Hero Stock shirt, it's winter time. You know,
exactly. With the weather warming up.
Exactly. I mean, slowly, technically slowly, we are past the solstice.
It's 35 degrees. Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
It's 20 last week.
By the way, if you want to come on, you can 347-767-4247. What?
We're like a virtual bar.
Exactly.
Jerked off right on the air.
Yeah, that's 347-774-BIS. I don't know. Well, you guys took this to such a dirty place.
This is totally clean show.
When the weather warms up, I get excited because I like those baseball preview magazines that come out. And there's these magazines that come out like, they used to come out in January, but now they come out in February. And they're like, they're just like previews of all 30 teams and whatever, stuff like that. But, I get less and less excited about them now. I still get excited about them, but then I kind of realized that all of that information that's available in those magazines can be had by just a little bit of work on the internet. I can find a million different like ESPN previews of teams and stuff, and it's definitely more convenient, but it kind of bums me out now that like...
I don't think it's more convenient, or it's for people that buy magazines.
I do like the magazine, and if they weren't so damn expensive, I might buy them more, but because these things are going for like $10 a piece at times, but it's just, you know what it is? It used to be that before I had the internet, like 10 years ago, it used to be, this is going to be like everything that's happened in the off season, all the previews.
Hot stove, son.
Exactly. It's all going to be contained in this magazine. Now it's kind of like, even if I buy the magazine and enjoy carrying it around, I almost feel like I wasted money because every day I could find a million different local reporters or something talking about exactly what's happening, you know, what's going to happen in baseball. And
you live in the year 2010 and there's an internet. It's better than magazines. Those magazines are meant for your dad. Those magazines are meant for your older folks.
Or people with money that subscribe to them, that get sent to their house, right?
No, I don't even think that. I think it's just people. I think it's a non-internet thing.
My dad makes fun of me for buying them.
I think it's okay.
That's why I'm saving my mom.
But yeah, your dad's people. Your dad's age then. That's what I'm saying. It's for it's for older folks. People that aren't on the internet screwing around.
But I noticed that, like, a lot of things that are more convenient now as a result of, like, modern technology, it's much better, and I wouldn't, like, sacrifice necessarily or go back, but I kind of miss a lot of things. Another example would be I used to love going to CD stores to buy CDs. And I'm not even necessarily talking about, like, there were certain stores. There was a store called, I guess, locally, Rocket Scientist was a store in downtown Manhattan that sold a lot of 60s and 70s stuff that was hard to find. I used to love going to buy CDs there. And a lot of these would be rare things. They'd be expensive. But just the whole excitement of the day, getting the CD and, like, deciding, all right, which I kind of want to hear this band and this band. Which one of them am I going to try first?
Or going through the bin and
record shopping in general.
Yeah, record shopping in general, really. Now it's kind of like, well, having from a collector's point of view, it's, I guess I can understand still doing it. But I really just wanted to have access to the music. I wanted to hear this music. I don't really have to do that anymore. There's so many places to get music. Even if I'm not even talking about illegally, there's so many cheap legal places to download music now.
I'm getting confused here because our buddy Keith was saying in the chat room that you just discovered that the internet is better than print media, and now that you're finding this out. But I'm thinking that you're going in the other direction. That there's something about that older technology that you're longing
exactly.
for.
Exactly. I'm realizing how much I miss not having the convenience. Of
going to the convenience store to buy the porno mag instead of going to RedTube.com.
I was going to say the same thing. Fred time has become a little less sacred for me because it was before the computer era. It was you had to put in a VCR tape. You had to be alone. It had to be like this whole big thing.
Where did you get the VCR tape from?
Either a
did you go buy it, or was it like these?
It was handed down from generation.
Like these trophies
to generation.
That went around.
Yes, it was probably a trophy.
So you never went. You never went porn shopping.
Like poorly dubbed. It's got the lines that go in. Yeah. And like little parts of static.
Most of it I got from hand me downs, but I did go porn shopping once. It was a very a surreal experience. I did not like that, but I miss that like. That old time, you know, watching porn thing where you put in the VCR tape, you had to hide it, you had to take it out. Now it's become like, all right, you just turn on the computer and you get it wherever you want.
You might be surprised between scenes. Someone might have thrown a music video in there. Like, oh, well, hey, this is good. I love Duran Duran.
120 minutes comes
right,
on.
Yeah.
And you know what's true? It's true. Like, I think that I don't even appreciate – I have access to more music now. But I think I don't listen to as much of it because I have so much of it readily available that I don't take the CD home and listen to it over and over. I just I download, you know, 10 albums of 10 different bands, and then I don't get around to listening to them.
Well, you know what? I've not I'm still, I guess, a bit old. Maybe it's just because I'm not doing music that much anymore. But I find that I don't download or purchase much music. But I wonder if sort of the album's death is a bad thing. Are people I see when I scan through people's iPods all the time, I keep seeing singles or one or two of the best songs off of the records. Does anyone go and have we lost the record? Have we lost the whole album concept? Like sitting down and are people only getting the singles and you're missing all those deep cuts in
but,
the record?
But because singles existed and 45s existed and the ability to buy records. The fact of the matter is that there's a Grammy Award for best record versus best album because the singles are sold on their own. So that's
right. But I mean, when you went out and looked for a record, it was actually kind of hard to find the collector's item, single or whatever, however you were buying it on if it was vinyl, it was a 12 inch.
I think that the people who are buying, who only have individual songs on their iPods instead of having the full record on their iPod weren't looking for that rare, hard to find colored vinyl rare thing. I think they're just looking for the top 40.
Right. Well, I wonder if in the old days, most people just wanted the single, went out and bought the album and had to suffer through the rest of the album and eventually like the rest of the album.
Yeah, that's a good point about suffering through because a lot of people don't openly listen to new music. A lot of people are forced into hear it and then slowly realize they hear something a couple times and they're like, oh, but how often do people listen to an album once but because they didn't give it time to sink in and really appreciate? Because you need to hear songs sometimes a few times before you fully appreciate them. Oh, the new album sucks. The new album sucks because they listened to it once only. And didn't give themselves a chance.
I'll tell you what I don't like about technology. If I lost my cell phone, I wouldn't even know what my own number was. Like, I like the days back in the day where I memorized people's phone numbers and said, okay, I could call this person. at any payphone or anything like that. If I lost my cell phone, I wouldn't know anybody's number. It's all disappeared into my head.
When was the last time someone wrote their phone number down on a piece of paper and handed it to somebody else? Don't you just call the person right there and then have it zap immediately into your cell phone?
That's it.
I found someone wrote that for me recently, like within the last year. I found it, and I just thought it just did look so weird, like to just see this like phone number written down. Like,
what a dummy.
You know what else I miss? I miss going, even though this is one time where convenience is beautiful, but I do kind of miss...
The one time. Like, that's what you've got to. Now every convenience is just bad to you. Here's the one time. Sliced bread. Well, I prefer having sliced bread to actually having to bust out a knife after baking my own loaf.
I will say this. Video stores, I kind of miss going to the video store and looking around.
You know, I got to be honest with you. Well, first of all, our buddy Sheepy's saying in the Pal Talk room that he writes down people's phone numbers in addition. So in addition to getting the number saved in a phone, he actually has a paper log.
Backup copy.
In addition, or does he do like 3 plus 4 plus 7?
Exactly.
He writes it on a paper log?
Yeah, it's weird, right? Yule log, if you will. But as I got off the train and walked up to Brian's house, Brian actually has a video store up the block from his house. I didn't even know video stores still existed. And it was
they're having a hard time. They're one of those fancy, like, you can't find this anywhere else in the world, and I bet you they're having a lot of trouble because the internet, you can pretty much find anything you want in the world, you know?
They have about 7 copies of Breathless in
the they have those kind of things,
versions.
Too. No, they do the weird, like, foreign Japanese input, like, stuff that you just will not find anywhere, and they also organize it by directors and writers and stuff.
Those stores served a great purpose when DVDs started taking over and, you know, like, the stores started shunning older... certain movies but now like you said with the internet, it's just like that's why honestly I think to combat piracy, like, the music industry and the movie industry have to just start making people like try to perfect people paying for stuff online, because trying to get people to go out to a store to pay for something is just ridiculous at this point.
I'm on the other side, like, I don't think that there's any aspect of anything that isn't made better by the technology.
Video rentals was a good example when you had them on VHSs before you were going out and renting them on DVR or DVDs. I'm sure I just dated myself doing that. Every once in a while, there's like 2 minutes of blank space at the end that someone would have taped a little piece of tape over and put one of their weird gibberish, film themselves on it, or some sort of edit from the TV camera, or some special kind of thing that wasn't part of the movie.
That is such a... I mean, you must have had a particularly interesting video store where that ran rampant. I've never seen anything like that. I've only heard urban legends of it.
I haven't ever waited at the end of the movie.
I would, because I've heard urban legends of it, and I'd never seen anything.
Rent Platoon from Captain Video 2.
All right,
in
I'm on the way.
Brooklyn, and you'll see some guys dressed up in drag performing their song.
Chris, you honestly think technology is all good? You don't think it contributes to the obesity and the stupidity of people, and the less people are less social now because of computers and video games?
In some respects,
and
I'm
they
sure.
don't get up.
You know what though? I think antisocial people are more social now in a way because of things like Pal Talk.
I'll agree with you that there's certain
human experience,
but there's aspects of everything that could be downplayed or bettered by different things. I'm just saying that technology itself isn't stealing any sort of experience from me. It's only enhancing the experiences for me.
So there's nothing like, you don't miss buying a record, buying a CD, anything like that. You don't
miss going out socially talking to people instead of virtually on your...
I could do both. But I enjoy being able to virtually do that, whereas I didn't do that years ago. Absolutely. I love the idea of Pal Talk and, you know, HearsTalk.com and things like that, and being able to talk to people, because that's what Hear Us Talk's about, just talking to people.
And again, I'm not saying we should go back. I want to go back to not being able to download music, because I don't. I'm just saying that there's certain aspects of it that I do kind of miss.
I think it's adorable, and I think it's quaint that these things are adorable and quaint and mean something to you. I'm just saying to me that I just don't get it. I don't get it. I think it's terrific that I could sit in my living room and get any movie that I want pretty much as pretty much quickly as I want, or any song that I want. I think it's that's great. I think it's great that I could walk around and call people now, whereas I understand the idea of, oh, I didn't used to have to worry about a cell phone. I feel nude without my cell phone. I love it.
Do you find that you're downloading one or two off songs, or are you, if you like it, going and searching for the whole record anyway?
I don't believe in one song. I download records. I don't believe in songs, actually.
Do you think that makes you old? Do you think that there's a large population out there of people who are just getting the one-offs and the two-offs and missing entire albums?
I think that I am old, and I do think that that is the case. My wife, definitely, there are some one, two-offs that she gets specifically, and then I'll download the whole album for her, and she'll only put the one or two up on her iPod.
I think that that's that might be the easiest thing for me to latch onto as this technology, as nice as inconvenient as it is, might be poorly affecting the industry that it's attempting to serve. Because people aren't buying records. They're not listening to records is the important part. Not that they're not purchasing it. Is that no one's hearing the records that musicians are making.
Oh, let me ask you something, too. I don't want to sidetrack this into where we were last week, but I watched the Grammys earlier this week. Is it a generation gap thing? Is it the same reason that, like, you know, our parents and their parents thought modern music sucked? Or does music really, really suck now?
Definitely not. Music is terrific. I suggest that you go out and check out some of the work by the fine Lady Gaga, and she will explain to you that music is brilliant.
Okay, Brian or Fred?
I disagree with Chris. I think...
I saw Jamie Foxx performing at the Grammys, and I couldn't even understand.
I think Lady Gaga, our society's sort of acceptance of mediocre music is perfectly perpetuated by Lady Gaga's performances and existence. The fact that people just listen to one or two off singles is the reason why she's the biggest deal in the world right now.
I still think there's great music. There's always great music. It's just how do people listen to that great music? Unfortunately, what's being put out there now, I don't think is great.
But that's a problem I have, too. I think a lot of the indie rock and the stuff that's not popular kind of sucks, too. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
I got news for you, though. It's not even a matter of that, though, because the things that you're saying that music sucks, you're also basing this on what you're seeing on the awards show type thing.
Yeah.
Even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whenever you think that music had some sort of heyday that is being, you know, stymied right now by the work of Lady Gaga, you wouldn't have seen anything on those shows then either. You'd be seeing Anita Baker singing on that show, you know, 15 years ago, that would have sucked just as much.
I disagree. I think in 1985, the Grammys were probably a hell of a lot better than they were.
In retrospect. You know. At the time.
Now that you're wearing your retrospecticles and looking back at it.
And again, though, I'm not only talking about the Grammys. Because the Grammys, to me, a lot of that stuff's just unwatchable. But even a lot of the accepted music, like when people tell me there's a new band, oh, no, that band's really good, you should hear them. And I listen to it, I'm just kind of like, we've discussed, I've had so many people tell me how great the Alkaline Trio are, and I think they're terrible.
But that's music that you don't like. It's a kind of music that you don't like. They're doing 90s-style emo. And you didn't like 90s-style emo in the 90s. So that's why you don't like Alkaline Trio. And Alkaline Trio is great, by the way.
Well, I'm trying to think of if there's any new band like that's come out in the last 5 years that I enjoy.
The Wombats, they're great.
Exactly. Thank you for making my point.
By the way, our buddy Steve the LARPer in the Pal Talk room is pointing it out, that Gaga is not mediocre. She's Madonna caliber.
Yeah, that's crazy
she's
talk.
She's huge.
That's just crazy talk. She's huge. She's very popular. I think the point...
She's adorable.
The point is that did that lesser mediocre, I guess, guilty pleasure music exist? Certainly.
Yes.
It was on the radio. It always has been. And even in, like, little bumps of, like, you know, puffiness of NSYNC or that kind of pop... crap rose to prominence, it served a very small segment of the market. Now Lady Gaga seems to be everywhere, and it's because like it's being marketed to indie rockers, it's being marketed to disco people, to like punk rockers, as you know, her breaking all of these boundaries and introducing new stuff, and it's kind of mediocre music.
You know, that crossover of the genres, I think American Idol has a lot to do with that. The crossover of the genre thing, like everyone's, they're like, all right, we have to market this guy as some kind of like hip hop, country, punk rock, new
and
wave.
You're just listening to singles on that show, too. Those are just pop standards that people are doing. You're not listening to a whole album. Well, one of those guys wins and they go out and make their own whole album, you know, and I mean, it's just a collection of pop crap songs. I don't know. I'm thinking the internet maybe has affected it. That it's easier to buy only singles than it is to buy records. I guess is the point that I was really.
I'm sorry. I was trying so hard to not be dirty on the air, but I'm sorry. The country rap fusion of cunt hop is my favorite thing in the entire world.
I eat that cunt hop. Well, you know what? Screw technology.
I think it's great.
I'm going to do a smoke signal radio show from now on.
Technology will be a demise.
I got news for you. Our buddy Keith Wu saying, you know what? Before technology, there would have been no internet radio show, and people would be listening to reading the Best in Show fanzine instead of actually listening to us do internet radio.
So? Technology is to our demise as chips is to Christmas.
Oh, man. So delicious? Delicious and nutritious. That is what it is.
Internet radio is killing... regular what do they call it now? I don't even
terrestrial.
Know. Terrestrial talk radio. I mean, it's
no, it's not.
That kind of stuff is almost gone.
That stuff has been gone because there wasn't a market for it.
I think it's killed it for people that want to listen to music. Unless they're at work and have a little portable radio they're going to turn on. Like, I think people no longer go to terrestrial or,
right.
I guess, satellite to an extent. Radio, like, when AOL radio, as long as you're okay with not having, and a lot of people, sometimes I like to have a DJ talking to me, but if you just want to hear a certain style of music played to you, like, you're going to go, AOL radio has it all covered. You don't need any internet, Live 365 or Hear Us Talk.
Nice. That's where I would go. Hear Us Talk, by the way. HearUsTalk.com. It's a fine, fine thing. Lots of stuff happens there. I don't know. DJ New Style Show. Us. Hopefully our friends on Friday
night. He plays cunt hop.
Yeah, he loves playing cunt hop. Who doesn't? Blah, blah, blah. Best in show.
How is that allowed?
What do you mean?
The door was open. Once the door's open.
What? C-O-U-N-T-H-O-P. Cunt hop. What's wrong with that? Take it the wrong way. It's an abbreviation for country. Speaking of, I can't do a segue here. Speaking of abbreviations, I was at work today.
Hey, look at your pants. Can I borrow?
So I'm at work. I have I do things. And one of the things I do sometimes is go to the bathroom. And when I use the restroom at work, I'm pretty particular about my hygiene. What I do is I actually go into the bathroom. I bring a whole little kit. I think I've talked about it on a show before.
You bleach yourself.
I bring a little kit with me where I bleach the seat with the Clorox wipes, and I bring wet ones or white sanitary wipes to the bathroom.
You
with
are
me.
A mess. You're like a little child.
To clean my little bunger to make sure that everything's all clean.
There's no
nice.
Shower at work. If there was Obvious. A shower at work, would you use it?
Of course I would.
Slippers or bare feet?
Yeah, you know, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably stick with the wet ones. At work, because I'm thinking about it, it's kind of gross to wash your own duty down there. That would bother me a little
out of,
bit.
Out of courtesy to the other people
at work. Yeah, of course.
Just to poo at work is a sin.
I do it all the time. What am I going
to
do?
Could you imagine going to the gym? You know how, like, if you're at the gym, the showers is like, it's a good 10, 20 steps away from the toilet. Can you imagine seeing him waddle out of the toilet
flushing,
with, like, no clothes on? Or
spreading his butt cheeks, walking over 10 to the
See, I always
to shower to wash his crap off of his ass.
I always laugh at people like Fred, like that, say, like, don't get me wrong, I want nothing to do with a public bathroom if I can, you know, if I could be never in any bathroom that's not in my house. I would be glad, but like when somebody will say something like use a public bathroom, and I wouldn't. Like, what? Who has that choice? Do you know what I mean?
No. I'd much rather crap in my pants. Thanks.
I guess I don't know. I'm on a system where I poo at a certain time, and I don't need to poo. I'll pee in a public bathroom, but I will not poo. Maybe I'll hold it in and it'll just disappear into my body for some reason.
Science. Fred Science. He teaches kids.
I never have to use a public bathroom to poo. Never.
Congratulations. Yeah. I have no
I'm lucky. Knock on wood.
I have no problem. I'll crap any place. Don't even think twice about it.
And you wouldn't think twice. No, Staten Island Ferry? You crapping on Staten Island Ferry? There's no doors to the stalls. There's no doors on the toilet stalls.
Wow, that's a tough one.
I do know. I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. What are you going to do?
Stallless?
What are you going to do, crap in your own pants?
You can't hold it?
What if you can't? You're going to sit in the doorless stall.
My bro could hold his puke. He's 12 years old. You can't hold your poo? You're 40?
You got to make a duty. I'm not 40. I'm 42. You got to make a duty.
Is it because you're grossed out, or is it because you're embarrassed to use a public bathroom?
Both.
I guess. But you, as far as the embarrassment goes, you're never going to see any of those people again.
Yeah, but I don't think I could do it either. Like, I've been, I'm pretty free and open with my public bathroom usage. I've done some nasty things in some nasty places. I don't think I could do it without a door. I don't know if I could do it without a door. I don't know. What are my alternatives? I probably would have to, like, it would be a painful experience.
You put it off the side of the boat, like Chris does.
No, I can't. I would. It's not. I would try desperately to hold myself, and I might actually poo my pants.
But think about this. You either have a choice of going on the ferry where there's no stall, where there's no door on the stall there, or there's a plaque there that you can crap on and your friend can videotape you. You have that option.
And I know he's videotaping. If I knew, I wouldn't have crap.
Would you rather be on the bus afterwards with pants full of crap?
Oh, that would be
awful.
Disgusting.
It wouldn't be by choice. I would hold it off to the last minute, and the last minute would turn into the last second, and then the last second would be 1 second too far. You know what I mean? I don't think I could bring myself to crap at a doorless.
Well, Chris, I didn't mean to derail.
No, I don't mind. I like thinking about duty.
So you're at work. You got the wipes out. You bring the wipes.
But that's what my routine is. That's what I do. And that's the thing. And people that I work with have started to, you know, they come to know the fact that, oh, Chris is in the bathroom. I hear someone that's flushed 15 times because I'll spend like a good 5 minutes cleaning the whole bowl before I go. Get it? So people know.
You realize you don't have to anymore.
They realize what my thing is like, and then I'll hold my foot on the flusher for like a second to make sure that everything gets out of it. There's not slightest bit of fecal matter.
You want the toilet to flood a few times to clean the area?
Exactly.
Imagine in the Marines, you know, like in the bathrooms of the Marines, they have like 20 of them lined up, no stall. No doors or whatever. You just sit down. Can you imagine him coming in with his like little wet wipes?
I should bring up a little briefcase. I should have a briefcase to do. By the way, Keith Fu is asking who has seen the old CBGB's toilet. I got news for you.
I've used that.
I have a buddy that took a crap on the CBGB's toilet, and there's a picture of him sitting. It's just a toilet in the middle of the room, and there he is, just sitting there crapping.
There's no lock on the door either, too. There was...
He's just a dude. It's just that's it.
You get hepatitis Z. That is the worst.
You get hepatitis AIDS.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, that is horrible.
So like I said, people know what my routine is. They know that I'm the guy that has the wipes and the cleanup and all that stuff. So then about a month or so ago...
You're the clean-ass guy.
A guy that I work with comes over to my desk and says, hey, man...
I'll eat your ass.
What is happening?
I think
what
is happening? That. Yes, actually.
It's his pickup line, man.
Wow, totally stopped me in my tracks there. I got someone that comes over to my desk and says, hey, do you mind if I borrow your wipes to go to the bathroom?
Oh, wow. That's very intimate.
And I was taken aback for a second. Well, I mean, one, that's when I realized, like, wow, everyone in the office knows that I'm the guy that goes to the bathroom and brings wet wipes with me to keep my hiney clean. But then I thought it was a little bit of a forward thing to say, hey, can I take this thing? I know that you're kind of a weird germy, like a guy who's got issues with germs and stuff, and you go through a whole routine in the bathroom. Do you mind if I take that thing to the bathroom with me while I crap?
Do the most germ-infested action on earth, poo, and then handle his poo hands or her poo hands. I don't know who it was. And then bring it back to you. It's almost like bringing a book in there or a newspaper. Can I even borrow a newspaper to read while I'm crapping?
There, just so we know, like I said, total side topic, but I guess it kind of goes inside of it. There's actually a library of different FHMs and Maxims and whatever other like men's magazines that guys just all share and bring into the bathroom and hold while they're crapping in there. Another thing that should not be exchanged amongst people. So I asked the question. Are wet ones or wet wipes something that is acceptable for someone to ask to borrow and bring to the bathroom?
Well, they're in a container, right? Like you're handing over a container of wet wipes.
But guess what? You have to open and close that as you're dealing with your own
business. You're going to remove that container and handle that container before you're done at the sink. You're not going to leave it in the
Exactly.
stall.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, our buddy FM Jeff is saying it's unacceptable. It's like asking, can I crap with your ass, basically, is what I'm trying to do.
Can I cross streams with you as you go? It is very intimate, and I would not let a person do that.
Well, it's now part of the routine. I said okay the one time, and now this guy now every day comes to my desk and asks for my wet ones.
I can almost understand an emergency situation. I mean, put yourself in his shoes.
What kind of an emergency could cause that you have to wipe with wet ones?
You're put yourself in his shoes. You're a wet ones guy. You have to go. You left yours at home
but
for
I
some
don't
reason.
Newspaper. You suffer through paper.
All right, yeah.
I got news for you. I keep a travel pack with me of wet ones that I left in the car yesterday, and I crapped in a public bathroom at a place I don't usually crap at, and I crapped there and just used regular paper. What are you going to do?
Good for you.
Ask him.
You're a human.
Chris, I got news for you. Next time he asks you to take your wet ones into the toilet, be like, and next time you need to go to the bathroom, ask him, can I take your lunch into the toilet with me? I'll bring it back out.
It's not that guy that I work with. That's a different guy that eats in the toilets.
I mean, it's just as bad because you have to handle that. And now you're opening up the wet ones before you wipe your own self. You're touching their fecal matter. It's going all over your ass.
The unfortunate thing is that stuff travels faster than any other. Like,
do I need to get? Oh, see, I can't think about airborne duty, man.
You need to get
really
him his own.
Out.
You need to get him his own.
Do I buy a second one that is just mine,
yes,
versus the one that I let him use?
Yes, that's what you.
Because the thing is, it's not even the financial thing, the financial strain, anything like that, because he's actually thrown money in. Because then now it's
like not just buy his own.
It's gotten a habit.
Dude.
I want us to share.
This is Loudy.
Dude,
this is Loudy.
One of the guys that I work with that sits a couple seats away, he's like, and he's a little abrupt. He's like, dude, why can't he just buy his own wet ones?
He wants to share a wet one.
Why does
with
he
you?
Have to come and have wet ones with you?
He's like, oh, bro, you know, I gotta crap.
Bro, wet ones, quick. Got a turtle head. Come on.
That's Loudy. It's loud. It's silent Loudy. But you got to buy his own. You got to say, hey, listen, I'm uncomfortable with this whole exchange that we're going through. I feel close to you, but not that close.
NorCal Murph says it in the air, so I can be strong. Tell him to creep off.
Tell the hutch to stop.
I got the solution.
Awesome. Joining us on the hottest of all lines, as soon as it gets answered, here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Who's this?
This is FM Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty outrageous. So am I doing the wrong thing here? Am I being hoodwinked and bamboozled into letting this guy use my wet ones?
I look at it the same way I look at people who borrow cigarettes constantly and never buy their own pack.
Yeah, bro.
They're basically saying, I'm paying you for the convenience of not only using the product that you purchase, but also making you go out and buy the product. So he's actually getting more than his money's worth in that situation.
Okay.
People ask, why don't you go out and buy your own? Why should I when I got this guy doing it and all I got to do is pay for the tissues?
Okay, I'm with you on that. I will say this. He actually did bring a refill package to my desk once, but it was only once. Granted, this hasn't been going on for a long time. It's only been going on maybe a month or so.
He's going through the predetermined social gestures that one would have to do to not appear like an asshole.
Okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
He's doing the absolute barest minimum not to look like a creep.
I guess I kind of see it. I just think it's. I'm thinking that in his mind, he doesn't think it's all that unacceptable. I don't. I mean, again, maybe I'm being naive here, not realizing that I'm being taken advantage of here. But I thought it was like that. He just thought it was like, oh, it's.
Well, I mean, does it really matter what his motivations are? I guess only all that matters is your comfort level with it, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yes and no, because if I did feel like he thought he was getting over, that would make me a little madder about it. Even if it didn't bother me, and I might be going against it just for that sake, which granted is juvenile. But
I don't think it's anything that Machiavellian. I think it's just as simple as, hey, he had his tissues. I really don't feel like buying them, so I guess I'll just bum off this guy. But you know, I'll be honest, these are the wet ones, right? Not the dry ones.
Yes, no, these are wettens. These are Cottonelle wipes that I use that are terrific.
I mean, having used them myself, I've never been able to take just one at a time. So he must have at some point wiped his ass and then went back for a second one. Which means that he contaminated the other sheets and probably has been doing so since he started borrowing this from you.
Hey, Jeff, do you think Chris should just open up the wet ones and give him like five or six of them out of the packet and say, here, and keep the package? Do you think that would be acceptable?
In a prison or war situation.
In a prison or war situation, he should be asking. I mean, I don't think he should be asking someone. It's like almost asking somebody.
I don't think Chris wants to be in a position where he's now rationing out wet wipes to his office desk.
One for you, one for me.
But Chris, why do you have to be subjected to knowing this guy's crap schedule.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Really?
Me.
That disgusts me.
Like, people go to the bathroom. Grown-ups make poo-poo.
Yeah,
I don't
but
care.
You don't need to know every time this guy makes. Now he's coming to you. Can I make now, Chris?
He doesn't
Can
have
I
to make? Brag about it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's gotten to the point now that he just grabs them on his own, that it's cool. I'm like, yeah, they're in that drawer. Just grab them.
I think I got the solution.
What's that?
It's going to ask. It's a little extreme. It's going to ask for a little patience on your part. Go out and buy a secondary container that you're never going to use, but for once, wipe some of your poo around the edge of the container. So that when he asks the next time, you can give him your poo container, the one with all the poo all
Even
over.
Even chocolate.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you had a relationship with this guy? I mean, not a relationship, actually. Have you had a friendly relationship with the guy outside of the office? Do you go out for drinks? Have you hung out outside the office
yes.
at all?
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. He's not a great friend, but he's...
Okay, so you're buddies.
I wouldn't go that far, but he's an acquaintance. He's okay. He's all right.
Like, if you saw him at a bar and you were with your friends, would you try to, end the conversation as quickly as possible, or would you try to integrate him into your group?
I'd integrate him in. He's all right. I would integrate him in, absolutely.
You would order him a wet nap shot?
So you're cool with the guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely cool with him. So maybe...
For me, it's only weird... or uncomfortable is A, I'm not friends with the person, or B, if it's a superior. Those are the only two circumstances for me where it's weird. If it's a friend, I have no problem. Take my word. I don't give a shit. No pun intended. But not if I don't know you, not if I'm friends with you, not if you're my boss.
So you're okay with other people's poop on you as long as it's your friend?
But I pull my own dog shit. Sometimes just to, because it's such a pain in the ass to just throw it out the door or whatever. You get to an age where, like, shit isn't really that big a deal.
Yeah.
As long as it's not someone shitting in your face, but, if you have, like, some shit sweat or, maybe, like, a little nugget piece or something, you're a doll. You wash that off.
Friends. For friends. That's the stuff that you say for your friends.
Right. I'm not suggesting that the sanitary factor is something that could be totally disregarded and there's nothing to worry about there, but that's not the drive behind it. It just feels like it's some sort of thing that maybe dudes shouldn't be sharing.
Do you think this dude feels a little stronger towards you, honestly, than he should? No,
I don't think he's... Nah. We talk about football. He comes to my desk and we'll talk about football.
I don't even mean he's gay. I mean,
no, I wasn't implying that, that. I wasn't saying that we talk about football meant he wasn't gay.
Because you immediately went to, like, the de facto guy responds, like, yeah, we talk about football.
No, it's quite literally that is our connection. He comes to my desk to tell me about Miami Dolphins news when it happens.
Hey,
that
crap. Is he a Dolphins fan?
No.
Oh, boy.
That's the one, but that's the only thing we really talk about. It's like, he's like the office sports guy. Well, and he come and he'll talk to me about sports, but that's what we talk about. Like, we don't talk about anything else.
You think maybe there's a factor there that, like, because you two sharing a bond in the office that is predominantly about both your assholes, that maybe, like, the whole football thing is a way to be like, hey, dude, just, I know I'm borrowing the asshole tissues, but I'm not gay because I know who the Giants are.
I didn't even think of that. Maybe he's trying to reinforce that masculinity factor. At the point, even though we share an ass-kissing thing, I guess, bro, sports.
I think that's just as intimate as saying, can I borrow your KY jelly? I need to go make masturbation.
Just the jelly?
I think that's just as intimate and crazy. It's, like, really weird that you're doing an intimate thing and you have this object and that object is coming back to you soiled.
It seems, I think the point is that he seems like a close enough friend that you can actually talk, you can actually say, stop taking my wet wipes.
I want it to be known because of this conversation tomorrow when he comes to my desk and takes the wet ones, I'm going to approach the topic with him. And you know what? I'm going to try and record it at the desk and see how it goes here and see if I can get it here next week. We're just about to end it. Jeff, before you jump off the line, tomorrow night, what's going on? What's the story with your internet radio future at this point? What's going on? Is it the best of both worlds?
My internet radio future is in flux. We are experimenting with some format ideas, me and my partner, Mr. JMF. And I think we've settled on something that's going to work out kind of in both our wheelhouses. And we're going to give it a shot tomorrow. You know, the name that we've been going by is by no means the name that we're sticking with. So if anyone's concerned about that corny name, it was simply a way to get us all a giggle. You know, best of both worlds, BBW, just, you know, something on the toilet that made us all laugh.
I'm quite fond of the idea of Best of Both Worlds with the name. I think it's terrific. So tomorrow night, same time, we're talking about 9:30 on Friday nights, we're going to be able to check out the Best of Both Worlds at this point.
It might be a little earlier, because I can do the show at home, so, you know, I can even start it earlier than that. But I'll let everybody know, because you hear us talk Twitter and through our watch show Twitter, what time and everything's going to be starting.
Excellent, buddy. Excellent. So then we'll be sure to be listening to Hear Us Talk tomorrow night to check out the newest iteration of what Jeff's got going in the internet radio world.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Excellent, bud.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff calling to us from the inside of a soup can, apparently.
I will say this much. A friend of ours, former roommate of yours.
Like in the mafia?
No, not at all. I once bought this book. It was this David Bowie. I was learning guitar, and there was this David Bowie songbook.
Bowie wipes.
I guess the opposite of football. It was all chords and lyrics and stuff. It was good. I brought it to your house, Chris, because we were working on some songs. We were going to try to do some covers.
She's Only Dancing?
And this former, this former roommate of yours and a friend of ours comes out of the bathroom, hands me my brand new book, and says, "Oh, here. Oh. I'm done." As I hear the toilet flushing.
I'm done wiping my ass with this book, basically.
Dave? I've never looked at that book the
Dave
same
Dave did
again.
That? Dave came out of the bathroom with that? Or
no.
Ah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Was it me?
No.
Okay.
Very sorry. Congratulations.
So I'm just saying that I understand the whole idea.
Did you throw the book out?
Stuff it. No, I still have the book, but it's still... And I like this dude a lot, but it still annoys... Not that much. It still annoys me to this day that I look at it and it's just kind of like, man, the thin white Duke is a little brown now.
Awesome. You've been listening to Best in Show. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. Special thanks to our buddy Walter Sobchak and our buddies FM Jeff. Our buddy FM Jeff. I don't know. Best of Both Worlds tomorrow night on Heroes Talk.
ICU2.com. That's good. Vegas, 28 days.
Oh, that's awesome. By the way, Keith, this is the Alkaline Trio for you. Cocky Sock, Steamroller, Roll Over Your Face. We'll see you guys on the radio. 88. Peace.
Five guys for making me number one.
Thanks for the guy that didn't come back to tell me I was $100 short and put my job in jeopardy.
Thanks to iTunes explicit notification. On the For Reals again, thanks for Keith Crew.
That gave me $100.
I don't think anything could top that. End the show.
I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. No, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. No, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. No, I don't deserve this. No, I don't deserve this. No, I don't deserve this. No.
The times I don't like Weezer are when they sound like this, but potato, potato, you know?
Thanks.
Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.